two, one. Yeehaw!
And we're live. Ooh, take a sip of that delicious coffee.
You got the best coffee, sir.
Oh, is that an Abakimi Fight Club?
Oh, it sure cup? Is.
Oh, wow.
Well, you guys just have it on here, huh?
You guys have the same one as this K-Man coffee
Yeah,
one.
Tate's the one who hooked me up with those.
Oh.
There you go. Well,
there you go.
There you go. Same mug. We need to redo those.
So, did you hear there were some fights this weekend?
I mean, I breezed by them. I saw the highlights. I thought you brought me on to talk politics.
Let's
Trump
talk
and
politics.
Stuff.
No,
can
Jill
we get
Stein.
Into that?
Let's talk about Jill Stein. Yeah, nobody's talking about politics these days.
Thank
it's,
God.
An important thing. We should bring it up because it's not like I went on a few celebrities' Twitter pages and I was like, bleh.
People are freaking out.
They're not just freaking out. They won't shut the fuck up about it.
Oh, it's nonstop. Just, nonstop.
And half of it is almost like, I think like they want everyone to know that they're upset.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, they want everyone to know that they're one of the upset people. And they're not one of the Make America Great Again people.
No, they promote that they're upset like I promote a live show. Like they want people to know where they're at, where they stand on it.
This is one female comic. I go to her page every now and then just
I know
to,
who it
to
is.
Look. Don't
I can't,
say
I
a word.
Know who it is.
And I just go, Jesus Christ.
Me too. I almost want to send her a DM just be like, you got to chill out.
Just relax.
You got to chill out.
Just
well,
relax.
Did you see what is happening with Amy Schumer?
Oh, I did.
She's
see
so
that.
Anti-Trump. But you can't make it that part of the act. Like people are paying tickets and people are just like walking out.
Yeah.
But she keeps harping on it.
Well, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. There's one way that people say they have a voice, and if they have a voice, it needs to get, you know, they need to use that voice to get the word out.
Not at a comedy show though.
Yeah,
that's make me laugh, bitch. I didn't mean to call you a bitch.
You're right.
But make me
you're
laugh.
Right. Do you know, you can call her a bitch. She would call herself a bitch.
Yeah, you know what
a,
I'm saying,
at
though.
Least back in the day, she would.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like way more, like political and feminist now than ever before. If you go back to the old Amy Schumer that was on like Opie and Anthony, she wasn't into that at all. She was like one of the guys. That was like her selling point.
Maybe she got a little older and she's like, man, I want to talk about different stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not the
sure.
platform for it, I don't
right.
think.
Well, if it is, you got to be really funny. Like, if you have, like, an anti-Donald Trump joke, that's fine.
For
but
sure.
But it's got to be funny. It's got to be just, it's, like, there's no room for that. Like, it used to be that comics could have, like, these rants where they made, like, really important points inside of fun, and it wouldn't be funny, and people kind of accepted it. But that's what a podcast is for.
Sure.
This is a new world. We live in a new world. I go to an action movie. I don't go to an action movie to get a massage.
No.
All of a sudden, when you're in the action movie, someone comes over and massages you. You need to relax. You need to be less tense because you're really concerned about this action film. It's really not relevant.
Well, yeah, it's like watching a porno. I don't give a shit about the story. I fast through. You know what I'm saying? I fast forward to the good stuff, man.
Some people do like the story.
Some people watch for the story.
They want these people to be in love before they fuck. Or they want them to be escaping a bad relationship and
mommy issues. I don't know. I'm just saying there's a place and time for it. Like,
there is.
Do you see Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah,
his
that
open
was
monologue?
Great. That was
brilliant.
Great.
Funny.
That was a good time for it.
Made
too.
A good point.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But he's also supportive.
Exactly.
He's brilliant.
Dave's a master. He's a master.
He's the best.
And he's also a very sincere person. Like, one of the things that is driving me crazy about a lot of this tweeting and craziness, like, I was in New York City for the fights, and me and my friend Cam Haynes, we went to the gym, and young Jamie was there too. But you weren't with us when we were stuck in the swarm of humans, just me and Cam. We got to the gym, no problem. But on our way back, the protest had marched through the area that we walked through, and all of a sudden we couldn't go anywhere. It was just jammed with people. So you're literally shoulder to shoulder with people. Like, just everybody's touching everybody. There's just, you had to deal with it. There was
yikes.
Nothing you could do with, which is one of the reasons why a fanny pack is so important, folks, because you keep your money in your front. Okay, nobody's pickpocketing
yeah,
you.
Know,
everything's
screwed.
Zipped up. My shirt goes over that.
Makes sense.
I'm gonna know if you're reaching in there.
To get there, it's gonna take some work.
Because pickpockets do go to those things. You need
oh,
to
yeah.
be aware if you're one of those super lefties that likes to go and demonstrate. Like, get your shit jacked. So while we're walking, this one guy with this perfectly manicured beard, I'll never forget, he had a really nice like wool jacket on. He was obviously like a wealthy liberal character. And he's screaming out, I mean, screaming in my fucking ear. He's right here. He's touching me. He's touching me with the shoulders. He's like, Donald Trump, KKK, racist, sexist, anti-gay. And he wouldn't stop.
It's
and part of me wanted to go, hey, man, could you just like, if you want to go in the protest is in the street. Like, you're on the sidewalk. This isn't the protest.
Yeah, this, this isn't is the lane, sir.
This is some non-committal shit you're doing here. Like, if you want to be out in there.
You gotta be all in.
But he's like, he's doing drive-bys. He's like a walk-by screaming protest.
But does it really do anything?
He saw a black guy in the distance. I swear to God, he starts going,
he shut up.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives
oh,
Matter!
Oh, hell no.
Yes, he did.
Oh, hell
yeah,
no.
He was so obvious.
He's just trying to get everybody to join him.
What my friend Michael Shermer likes to call virtue signaling. That's what it is. He's peacocking his virtue.
And just trying just trying to get everybody to jump on board.
Letting the world know. I'm sensitive. There was a woman with a sign that said, rape Melania.
Jesus.
Yeah, and apparently that's
think about writing that thing out.
Crazy.
Here we go.
It's a hashtag on Twitter now. Here's what's crazy. Here's what's crazy. Twitter allows that hashtag. Twitter doesn't allow Hillary for prison.
What?
Check that. Make sure that's
how,
correct.
How biased is that?
Make sure that's correct, because that's what I've been reading.
Jamie doesn't think he's buying it.
I don't understand how I would check it.
Will you hashtag Hillary for prison? Look if there's any tweets. Yeah. And then hashtag...
that's ridiculous.
Dude, there's pictures of people with those signs. I don't think it's just one person. And there's a bunch of people who used it who call themselves... like. As if somehow or another, if Donald Trump is a misogynist, somehow or another, the way to get him back is to rape his wife or even to suggest raping his wife.
But what kind of message are you spreading if you're posting that and you're in a protest, you're making a sign of that bullshit?
It's fucking scary. What does it say?
This is Hillary for prison. I searched and there's a lot of stuff that pops up.
Hillary for
prison. Okay.
Well, they might have banned it since, or unless that's recent.
Maybe they banned it before. Maybe this guy doesn't know what he's talking about and I just read some nonsense. Maybe I just read some nonsense.
Maybe.
I could have read some nonsense.
But all of it's nonsense. All of it is just bullshit. Well, it's just bullshit.
There was so many angry people. And
Celebrities were like, if Trump wins, I'm out of here. You ain't going nowhere.
Did you see the fucking signs that people have made, some artist made for, you know those benches, bus station benches where they have the billboard in the back of it for real estate sales?
Yeah.
It's a real estate sale, and it's all these people who said they're going to leave the country. It's their face, like one of them, Cher.
That's awesome.
I think Amy Schumer's got one of them, too.
Everyone says that. You're not doing shit.
Yeah,
you're not going anywhere.
Amy said she was
going
to move to Spain, but she's a fucking comedian. You know, she's like, I guess I'm learning Spanish or something. You know, that's just like what a comedian would say. It's, you know.
People freak out.
People are all mad. But what she said is that, like, you know, you're just as disgusting as the people who... voted. The people who actually expect me to move are just as disgusting as the people who voted for that anti-gay woman hater or whatever she called them. But series of insults.
She's just so upset, and then obviously she's performing. She's doing theaters or in stadiums, mm-hmm. even
big ass know? Places,
big ass
arenas.
Places. So arenas. I mean, she's killing it. She's brilliant.
Moving to Canada, election day sale. Meanwhile, here's what you need to understand. If you do
those
move
are
to
great,
Canada,
by the way.
If you do wind up moving to Canada, when you move to Canada, you realize that Canada has a very similar immigration policy to what Donald Trump is proposing.
It's very strict.
It's very strict. It's incredibly difficult to immigrate to Canada. You don't just do it like that. You don't just go over there and all of a sudden you live there. I mean, maybe if you're Amy Schumer and you got some cash.
Maybe. It's still strict. People don't realize how strict it is.
It's fucking strict.
Yeah. I'm just going to go to Canada. No, you ain't, bitch.
It's essentially very similar to what Donald Trump is proposing. Like, here's the thing about Canada, and I love Canada,
Me
by
too.
The way. I'm a huge fan. They're like some of my favorite people in the world. When you go to Canada, if you have a drunk driving thing on your record, you can't get in.
Mm.
They fucking send you home.
Mm.
It happens all the time.
Yeah,
people
it's a big deal with the UFC, too, with the American fighters.
Yeah.
If you have anything, the chance of you getting up there, getting cleared, because customs is strict as shit.
Yeah, Kevin James got into, you know, just a standard fist fight once when he was younger. And I believe he was arrested, but no charges were filed and it was all dropped. It was one of those, you know, there's a brawl and he was a part of it and he got arrested with a couple other people. No big deal. Just something a young guy did. He's up there to fucking do Just for Laughs, and they flag him for it.
Turn him around?
Yeah.
Damn.
Eddie Bravo went up there. Eddie Bravo legally was carrying a gun. Legally.
Well.
Because he was, no, listen to me. He was working for a cash checking business. This is way back in the day, before I even met him. And Eddie used to have to carry around large sums of cash, and he had a license to carry a pistol because of that. So he gets pulled over for, like, speeding or something. And he tells the cop, He goes, hey, man, just so you know, I work for a check cashing company, and I carry large sums of cash, and I have a pistol, and it's loaded, and it's in the car. And the guy goes, okay, well, step out of the car. Give me all your paperwork and this now. I'm going to have to handcuff you while we check this out. So they check it out. They go, yep, you're all good. They let him go. So nothing, right? No charges.
Nothing.
They're carrying the pistol legally. Every time he goes to Canada, it comes up.
Damn.
Dude, it got so bad that when we would go to Canada, I would ditch him. I would ditch
I'll
him.
I'll see you in there, man.
I didn't want to get pulled into immigration if I said
Hell
I was with
no.
him. If I said I was with him, they'd pull me into immigration too.
Might,
I got
might
stuck
miss
there.
The show.
Dude, I got stuck there for a fucking hour and a half once.
They might not let his ass in because the conspiracies. Like, we just can't.
Tower
we just
7.
Can't, sir.
Tower 7.
At our live shows, we keep getting. So, do you and Eddie hate each other? How's it work? And then I'm like, get out of here. I love Eddie. And then someone started literally a chant. Tower 7. Tower 7. It's so hilarious.
Did you see that fucking meme with Tony Ferguson when Tony Ferguson beat Rafael Dos Anjos? Eddie Bravo was saying something. It's like when your boy just wins his fight, but you have some new information about Tower 7.
And he's like, he's all up in his ear. So hilarious. Whoever made that is brilliant. There it is.
There it is. I fucking love Eddie.
Me too, man.
Listen, it's so hilarious. Eddie's my brother. Anybody that thinks I don't love Eddie, you're crazy.
Oh, I agree.
Whatever nutty things that he believes that I don't believe, I don't give a fuck. I love that dude.
No, yeah, I still love him too. He's my friend. He's just batshit crazy in his kind of way. I still like that flavor that he's delivering. You know what I'm saying?
He enjoys that shit.
He's so into it.
He loves it.
He'll send me texts nonstop about it.
Yes, he sends us group texts.
Yes.
Did you see the latest one he's putting on Twitter about some? It's grainy footage that looks like it was invented back when the fucking wheel was invented. It's grainy footage of some guy talking about some sex parties they used to have with children. Used to.
I got one, bro. Hillary's not Satan. You don't really think she's Satan? I don't, man. I find it hard to believe, and he'll lash out at me. I'm sorry.
Satanic cults. When you see shit like Eyes Wide Shut, though, don't you want to know? Like, you hear about, like, the skull and bone stuff they used to do at Yale.
Yeah, that shit's real.
Yeah, like, that is real. So, like, I wonder, like, if you grow up in the Hamptons or you live in, like, one of those crazy Connecticut towns where all those super billionaire hedge fund characters live and all their kids go to the private schools, they get sent to these big fucking universities and you get pledged to a fraternity because your dad was in it. And, you know, there's a lot of that shit going on.
Yeah. They're called the Skulls, right?
That's skull like
the
elite. Bones.
Is skull it bones? Bones? I thought it was just the Skulls.
No. Well, there probably
that might
the
be a
Skulls,
movie.
Too. Yeah, well, maybe it is a movie.
They would never invite us into that stuff.
No.
They're like, they just won't shut the fuck up.
No,
like, we tell them anything, they're Chatty Cathys.
Yeah.
You tell them anything, they just blast it on their shows.
Yeah, we would blast
it. We can't have them on there.
Yeah, we would never.
No.
Yeah.
There's no.
Anybody thinks we're getting in on the Illuminati. I get accused of that so much because of the Flat Earth people. The Flat Earth people believe I'm a paid shill.
I know. I get it, too. I get it, too. Oh, you're just going to leave the UFC and step right into that? You don't think that's the Illuminati working? You don't think he's part of it? Rogan dragged him into it? Yeah, man. You don't think I would chat away on my show about it?
What would be hilarious is if there really was some sort of giant organization that was paying people off to lie about the Earth being flat. That would be amazing if, like, we were able to keep it that hush-hush. If the world was flat this whole time and all these people that claim to be flying around it in a big circle, like, people have navigated the globe in a plane. They've flown over it in a plane. And they're all in on it. They're all getting
just
paid.
Just everyone's in on it.
You go over their house, Ferrari, Minx, disco, everybody's partying. Like, where'd you get all this money? Shut the fuck up, dude.
Shut up, bro. Just from a boat going around the world? Yeah, man.
It's all flat earth money. Flat earth denial money. It's huge. This is the world Eddie Bravo lives in. He hasn't quite gone flat earth. Flat earth pulls him back.
He started messing with it a little bit, though.
He did. But he went, dinosaurs aren't real.
Dinosaurs aren't real, and the moon is fake. We've never been to the moon.
Well, not only that, all the footage of NASA, all the NASA footage is fake.
NASA's full of shit, and then the bands, all the bands, like the Beatles,
oh,
the
Doors,
all
that stuff. Oh, yeah, they were made by the CIA.
Mm-hmm. And, like, right up here in Topanga Canyon.
But the thing is, though, if you know Eddie's a fun dude, and half of this stuff is because he enjoys it. He enjoys looking at conspiracies just like, and look, some of them are true, right?
True. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the real problem.
The real
some
problem.
Some are true, so he has an argument on some stuff. But it's hard. He's so balls deep into conspiracies that it's hard for him to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, bro,
he's
it's
so
not flat,
balls
man.
Deep that he's bent over like a clothespin, and his ankles are in.
Yeah, he's
like his
all
body.
In.
What is this? That's a nice tower. Be ashamed if someone knocked it down. Is this recently?
Yeah, he just posted it.
He's probably listening to us.
He's so hilarious. He's so funny.
He's so crazy.
But the thing, too, he's passionate about it. So people think when him and I discuss it or any of us discuss it, you know, and he's so passionate about it, he's not arguing with us. He's just like, if you really think something's true, you're like, come on, man. That's Eddie.
Well, here's my take on a lot of this shit. There is not that much time. You don't have much time. You have 24 hours in a day and you got to sleep for 8. So that's not a lot of time for me. And if I go down these goddamn fucking rabbit holes, that shit will take forever. I've done it with legitimate things. I've done it with, you know, like archaeological fucking discoveries where I'll just start reading up on some crazy temple that they found in Cambodia. Yeah. And I'm 2.5 hours later, I'm, you know, researching this. And I'm like, God, I got a shit to do. I got shit to do. So, like, for me to do that about ghosts.
Well, that's basically what some of these conspiracy theories are. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to find something on the internet no one else has found? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fucking Nicolas Cage from National Treasure. Like, I'm not going to go on this weird escapade finding something no one else knows.
Right.
And I can just ask Eddie, because he'll fucking double black belt in conspiracy theories.
He makes you watch YouTube videos, though.
Yeah, like,
he tried to get us to do one during the last Fight Companion. He tried to put one on. Dude, it's only 5 minutes.
Five minutes during a live podcast?
I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have it in me. I forget what that one was about. Something about money or something. I don't know.
Or Tower 7.
He loves it. He loves
it. He does.
It's a sport to him. But, you know.
It's what he's into.
Yeah. Just, I don't have time anymore. That, and people go, oh, you fucking sell out now, bro. Fucking sell out.
So, no? Well, no, sir, no.
If you solve the Kennedy assassination, it will not help your life.
But it's also not on the internet. I hate to tell you that. It's probably not in some chat room you're in.
It might be on YouTube. You just got to find the video.
You just got to go down deep enough. You're going to...
About 600 views so far, but if we can get it out there... Someone sent me a fucking 3-hour one just 2 days ago.
Well,
3-hour Kennedy
long.
Assassination one. I'm like, I can't...
Simply too long.
Can't do it anymore. Can't do it. And if they do figure it out, it would be interesting. But I don't see how they could. I think they're never going to get past where they're at right now. There's like some evidence. There's some non-evidence. There's some speculation. There's that Zapruder footage. There's some shit.
But is there any expert like actually open the case back up? Like, do they really give a shit?
They can't. There's not enough evidence right now, like current physical evidence.
Yeah, so it's not happening. It's over.
Yeah, they wouldn't do it anyway because who are you going to try?
But also,
you
know, who gives a shit? He's dead.
Yeah, everyone's dead.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All right, still doesn't bring him back.
It's all so fucking weird. Because like, we know the government does a bunch of fucked up things. We know they do. But it's spending time trying to figure it out. That's what I was thinking when I saw Trump sit next to Obama. I wonder if Obama told him how much work he has to actually do. And that's why he looks so fucked up. Because Trump was sitting next to Obama, and he looked like, Jesus Christ. He looked like he was like, what?
I think it hit him during that meeting. Obama's like, this is my daily life. Here you go. And he's like, holy shit. Look at him.
This is what it says. Trump reportedly surprised at scope of new presidential duties.
Surprised at scope? God damn it.
That's hilarious. Well, It's like you have 100 jobs. There's a reason why they age so hard.
It shouldn't. One man shouldn't be responsible for it. I mean, I think you've spoke about it before, but to have one guy with that much power and to have all that on his pressure, it should be a committee of just straight geniuses that figured it out.
Well, man, if you want to look at the bright cloud, if there's any bright cloud about Donald Trump being in office, is that he's an outsider. Like, complete outsider. He's not a politics guy. And so we'll get to see, just by watching them, like, sort of duke it out, what shape they take. You know? We'll get to see, like, we'll get a better view of the mechanism behind the machine than if Hillary Clinton was in office.
Don't you think I think people are going to be surprised at how little power the president actually has.
Probably.
Because they think he's going to do all this crazy stuff, and then people are going to be like, nah, bitch, it doesn't work like that. You have to jump through all these holes, the House of Legislature, all this stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to be interesting, too, is to hear him talk and complain about that and see what happens.
Yep.
And it's going to be interesting. We've got a culture battle going on right now, too. Like, all those people marching down the street screaming, not my president, not my president.
Well, he is. He is, though. I hate to tell you guys. He is.
Well, he's the. You know, you don't, like, get... You don't. The president doesn't become yours, so it's not yours.
Well, if you live in the United States, though, he's the president of the United States.
Yes.
So, look at me.
Do you say my president? Do you say my president?
I do.
You do?
No, I don't.
My
no.
president,
no, I
Trump.
Say the president.
Yeah, he's the president.
Yeah.
Not my president. I live in a whole new world of my own.
It is weird.
Yeah. What?
I don't know, man.
It's probably, look, I think this is what I've been saying, that we go like this and we go like that. We go right and we go left. And this is how people always have, when they go back and forth. The country goes back and forth. We try it one way, we don't like it.
They said he was supposed to be at UFC 205.
Well, his son was there.
Which one?
Donald Trump Jr.
God, they're not going to win any awards for good looks, are they?
He's not a bad looking guy.
Really?
No.
What, the youngest one or the one who's like killing it? There's one who's balling.
The one who's got the hair slicked back, darker hair.
I'd have to see him.
He's a nice dude.
Is it? Was he cool?
I've been actually. I knew him from a while ago. He's friends with a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that the family's gonna have to take over his other business adventures while he's president. How about that?
The whole thing is so crazy.
So weird.
It's so crazy. Looking at him up there, it's so crazy.
Then how many of them are gonna live in the White House? Do they know?
I don't know.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Like, could all of them live if they want, or is there, like, a cap? Like, dude, you can only bring two. You can't be up in there.
Do you know who I fucking love? Who is that sheriff? That black sheriff that wears the cowboy hat everywhere? Sheriff, what the hell's his goddamn name?
The one out of Dallas?
I think he is.
We're speaking about the same dude?
He's,
when the Dallas shooting
he's
happened?
He's always, yes. Something Clark? Is his name Clark?
I think he retired.
Did he? Well, he didn't retire from, like, Fox News. Dude's always on the Fox
News. I wonder
if
the same guy.
Maybe. Here, I'll find him because I just started.
Eric Holder.
What is it?
That guy?
David Clark. His name's David Clark, bro. Sheriff David Clark. Okay. Eric Holder is the attorney general, you fuck. You non-American.
Very anti-American.
How do you not know that? You don't know who Eric Holder is? How dare you? I like to do that when I know someone who other people don't know. I go, how the fuck do you not know that, bro? Yeah, he's a fucking character, that guy.
They say he wears a cowboy hat in honor of his family member was a Dallas cowboy. So he wears a Dallas cowboy hat everywhere?
Right? He wears
just a hat?
Actual cowboy hat.
That's
everywhere.
Aggressive, sir.
There's a crazy picture that he posted of Donald Trump winning the Ellis Island Award in 1989, standing next to Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks.
Damn.
It was an award for contributing to the conditions of inner city black youths, standing alongside Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks.
No one talks about that.
Yeah.
Well what doesn't help Trump is like the head of KKA was like, we basically got him in there. Like, we support him. We're the reason he got in there. He had to come out and be like, I'm not cool with that KKK stuff, man. Like, that's not me.
Donald Trump, KKK, racist, sexist, anti-gay.
It's kind of catchy, though.
I wanted to tell him, man, go out into the street, but I was worried. I was
dude,
literally
get the
worried
fuck in the street.
That if I said it, he'd be like, you fucking racist. What did you, you're a Trump supporter? Like, he was so, his vitriol was.
And then they're
going to so
jump
intense.
All up on you. And then someone's going to be like, Joe Rogan.
No, I'd say just go to the, come on, man, go over there.
Get over there, man.
Go
let
over
me
there
do
where
my thing.
Everybody's actually protesting.
Don't make me get Cam Haynes, get his fucking bone arrow and start fucking murking people.
Wouldn't be able to draw
back up, son.
There was no room to draw. It was so crazy how many people were there. It was just strange.
Just a protest, thousands of people. New York's busy as it is.
But it's you know, the cops broke it up. Like, cops were screaming and shit. So it was like that being there at the weekends with the biggest fights in history. All of it was just so crazy. That was a nutty scene, man. Being there in the weigh-ins felt surreal. It felt
just
really
like
surreal.
Finally it happened.
Yeah, it was like, it was crazy. Like, the weight of the event was thick in the air. It had this feel to it that was very different than any other show we'd ever put together.
Dang, I wish I was there. That's the one show I wish I was at because it's so special. It's gonna be tough to beat that, but
it'll never be. You'll have big giant events for sure, but it'll never be like that because that was the last block of corruption.
Correct.
That was standing in front of the UFC getting into New York.
I got a little worried when I saw, where was I? I think I was in Atlanta doing a live show, but I saw on the Twitter, like, the crazy press conference with Conor doing that stuff. I'm like, I'm not, and it was kind of weird. I was like, well, it seems a little gimmicky, blah, blah, blah. And then the weigh-ins, he looked a little more serious. And then the night of the fights, I was like, I mean, you couldn't have written a better show. I mean, the fights, the night, the way everything happened, it was amazing, man.
It was amazing.
By far the best UFC I've ever seen.
It was
by far.
The main event was almost, it was almost bizarre. It's almost bizarre how good Conor is.
Right?
Almost bizarre the way he picked apart Eddie Alvarez. Almost bizarre. And, like magical. That's almost the word I want to use.
Correct.
Like, he touches motherfuckers with that left hand.
Have you ever seen Eddie Alvarez just get, like, they didn't even look like they were in the same planet. Like, one guy, like, looked like he was from Mars. The other guy looked like he was just a normal dude trying to figure it out.
Well, it looked like Eddie, the moment he got hit, was like, what the fuck?
You could see on his face, he was like, holy but Jesus, what am I doing here? And then he goes, well, all right, he's not very good at wrestling. Let me try this wrestling. And Connor's like, that was your shot? Oh, bro, you're in for a long night. I think Eddie realized, like, holy fuck.
Well, he's already touched up a little bit when he finally went in for the shot. You know, and I just think Connor knew then also that he had him.
And how calm was he?
Ridiculously.
Just calm, upright, and just waiting. And then the accuracy of that combo that finally finished Eddie, that's what I think makes Connor so special, is his accuracy when he throws punches. Eddie's moving as he's landing this stuff. I've never seen anything like you said, it was straight up magical. I'm like, all right, well, we've never seen a guy like this. We just haven't. I don't know if we ever will either.
It's really interesting, too, when I was interviewing him. He's like, you got to have some attributes if you want to beat me. You got to be tall. You got to be big. Give me these guys my size.
What he's doing, though, it's so... He's a once-in-a-lifetime guy because he's setting the ceiling. Like, there's no boundaries for him. Like, he's just like, I'll fight Nate at 70. I'll 45, sure, I'll murk Aldo in 13 seconds, and I'll come to 55. Like, we've never seen this kind of creativity, and we've also never seen the UFC allow someone to do this either.
Yeah, well, he's just such a unique personality. It's undeniable. But also his style. In a lot of ways, he kind of does a lot of, like, what Wonder Boy does, but with less kicks. Like, he throws kicks to the body. He'll throw, like, some front kicks. I mean, you know, like, maybe 70% as many kicks. Mm. Wonder Boy is a little more kick heavy, but it's that sideways style. And I think he does it better.
Me too.
Like, there's maybe something about the focus of the shots that he's landing, the precision of them. Because Wonder Boy very rarely, like, touches somebody up like that with a punch. He just doesn't have that kind of power.
Yeah, you're right. I think Wonder Boy is better at surprising guys with his kicks and his angles. But Connor sets it up, and he's landing combos that are all so precise and this power. Like, he's touching dudes, and you can see it on their face.
Yeah.
He touched Eddie, and Eddie's like, what the f-?
Well, not only that, he's like, he's hitting him in a surprise way, and he's not telegraphing it at all. Like, his ability to, like, go from bouncing around to launching that shot is so quick. It's so precise, and it's so focused, and there's no fat in his movements. It's just pop.
Yeah, and they said there's going to be a big announcement afterwards, and obviously his girl's pregnant, which, I mean, that's a personal big announcement for him, but I think he says he's going to take time off, and he wants a piece of the pie. He wants a piece of WME and what, you know, what they're doing now, which is hilarious, right?
I love it.
Me too. I love it, and he's the first fighter ever that can talk like this.
How old is he?
Was Connor 26? Maybe 27, 26?
You got to think... 28. God, I think he's a smart guy too. I would hope, at least. I don't see him fighting deep into his 30s.
No, especially the way he talks, because he goes, now that I have a kid, I know what I bring to the table. I won't be set financially for the rest of my life. If you guys want me to fight again, yeah, I mean, you need to be set for the rest of my life. I want a part of this pie. And he's his next fight, and it's gonna be such a fight, is with WME. It's not with anyone out there. If you think he's fighting Ferguson or Khabib next, you're batshit crazy. That's not happening for a very long time.
Maybe they work it out.
I don't think so. I think the next fight, again, I don't know. This is just me going off whatever the hell I think, Joe, but I think his next fight would be Nate for the belt at 55. Because if you look at Khabib and Tony, they're both deserving, and we're MMA purists. We're balls deep in MMA. We love it. And one of those guys deserves it. As far as numbers and in a big pay-per-view, it would have to be Nate.
Do you really think they would do Nate again?
100%.
Wow.
I don't think Nate or Connor will fight unless if that has to be the matchup. Sorry.
I think Connor will fight someone else. I think Connor might even fight Woodley.
I think you'd see a fight with Woodley before you see Khabib or Ferguson. I think Khabib and Ferguson will fight each other before anything else.
Do you know how fucking crazy it would be if he decided to go up and fight Woodley?
It's so nuts. Obviously, Woodley has to get through Wonder Boy again, but
does he?
It has to.
You think so?
Well, Dana said it's
Dana
immediate rematch.
Dana said a lot of shit. He said Khabib was fighting for the title.
It's a good point. It was like, nah. Me sure you're fighting for the title? Nah.
Yeah, he does that all the time. I don't think that means anything.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm just going based off what your boy said. He was like, that's the next rematch.
Like, but you put it on me.
Well, he's more your friend than mine. You've worked with him forever.
I'm really
I like
good
the guy.
With him.
Yeah, I like Dana. I just think you know, you have a closer relationship, so I say you're a boy, but he does say things and pulls back.
Yeah.
If Woodley and that's there, this is the other thing you gotta worry about, though. Not you don't have to worry about, something to think about. How much power are they gonna give Connor? 45, 55, 70, just wraps up all the...
Dude, do you know how crazy that would be if he did it, though? I say let him do it. Let him try.
The UFC's going, we can't. He's going to take this
Woodley
bitch
will
over.
Say it. Woodley will say, let him try.
Fuck yeah, Woodley will say, let him try. Woodley would love that.
You know how big Woodley looks compared to him?
Ginormous.
It's so bizarre looking at Woodley inside the octagon. You know he's the most jacked dude, I think, other than Yoel Romero. He's in there.
Oh, they're one and two.
Yeah.
One and two right now.
Yoel, I think it's like interchangeable.
Yeah. It depends what you're into.
But Yoel flies through the air. Yoel does backflips at the beginning of every fight. At the beginning of every fight, he goes into the audience, or he goes into the cage, and he does back handsprings and literally launches himself through the air and lands on his feet.
Like it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's a solid landing.
And he's 200 pounds.
Correct, sir.
And he's flying.
Flying.
He's the freakiest freak
athlete
ever.
And loves gay Jesus. Yes.
Yay, Jesus!
Yay, Jesus!
Michael Bisping, I love you! I love you, Michael! You do that to me! I love you!
Someone needs to help him with his marketing,
no,
right?
Change a word.
No, but he lost so much fan support when he said for what did he say? For the gay Jesus.
We thought
he said gay Jesus, yes. But he said don't forget Jesus. But his broken English was so bad. People went bad on him so fast.
They did.
And then he kept calling Bisping boy.
Yeah, I like that.
Boy.
Well, it's okay because he's like a black
that.
Guy.
I like that.
He's allowed.
If Bisping did that to him, we got some shit on our hands.
Shit on our hands.
Cannot say that to a man of color.
No!
He does talk
don't
like that.
Don't forget Jesus!
He's so scary. Poor Weidman. In New York, hometown, needed a win, bad. The only getting no love in New York, and then just a fucking knee from Cuba just to your dome piece.
Just flew through the air. And as he hit him, like he was flying over him afterwards. But you know, that was insanely impressive. But you know what was almost as impressive is the way he took Weidman's back. He tripped him. They tied up together. He trips Weidman, throws him to the ground, and then spins around behind him and takes his back.
Like how about the trip? How about the world-class trip?
Oh, yeah.
People are like, that's just trip. No, that's world-class level trip. Weidman's an absolute monster.
Ridiculous.
And he was just, kadoosh!
He was throwing him around. He was showing him the difference between a wrestler from the Olympics, a guy who medaled in every single world tournament he entered.
And built like a Ninja Turtle.
Dude, he's ridiculous. And you know, he has like a fused disc in his neck.
I would assume.
He had a serious injury in his neck, just like Weidman has. But Weidman had a discectomy.
Weidman had surgery.
He did. So Yoel has a big scar in the back of his neck. You could see it. It's like a big slice. It's all stitched up.
Just like Ving Rhames from Pulp Fiction.
Very different. But
yeah. You know what I'm saying, though. Same scar, black guy.
Well, it's I've seen it before on other guys, but spinal surgery is fucking no joke, man.
I had Weidman win that fight till then.
He won the first round, but you thought he won the second round when Yoel was throwing him around?
Not winning, but I thought as the fight would go on, it would help Weidman.
I thought in the second round, Yoel started implementing his wrestling,
correct.
And I thought he was running away with it. And then in the
third... So it'd be 1-1, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought it was 1-1.
Yes, 1-1.
But
that's
I thought
fair.
It was like shocking how good his wrestling was in comparison. And we know that Weidman
He doesn't show it.
Yeah, very rarely. But when he does, dudes go flying.
I don't
they
know why he doesn't
flying.
Use it more.
Because he's having fun. Having a good time!
Dude, for real. At first, when he was talking stuff to Bisping, I'm like, God, that's a terrible fight for Bisping. God, that's terrible. And then it hit me, I'm like, 5 rounds? Bisping really doesn't initiate in that grappling, and he has cardio for days?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough fight to call. At first, I was like, yeah, Romero's going to fucking destroy Bisping. I'm like, not really, though, if you think about it. Not really.
Who knows what could happen, but Dan Henderson caught Bisping twice bad in their last title fight at 45 years old or whatever it is.
He did catch him really, really
He caught bad. Him bad. And Dan Henderson, who is one of the most ruthless power strikers in the game, for sure. And Bisping survived that. So that's good for Bisping that he was able to survive that. You know? You got to think, Yoel Romero doesn't just have a right hand. He flies. He literally launches himself at you. If he gets a hold of you, the wrestling
You're going
ability.
For a ride.
Dan Henderson's a silver medalist in the Olympics as well, but it's
different.
It's different.
Different.
Yeah.
Especially Dan right now. What's Dan? 48.
I think he's 46 or 45.
He's up there either way.
Yeah.
But Romero's basically, you know, in his prime as an MMA fighter.
Well, also there's like the range of motion.
Yes.
Like Dan's almost like locked up.
Some would say stiff.
Yeah, he's got, but if he hits you, you're Fucksville. But he's like, his range of motion is very limited, whereas Yoel is like a super athlete. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any limitations in his range of motion. He's ridiculously flexible. Like he does like a half split before he fights. He was like down there like stretching out. You're like, this guy's range of motion is insane.
Those knees and the flying knees, though, a lot of it, especially with Weidman, came from Weidman going for that single leg. Mm-hmm. He's like, go for that again, see what happens.
Yeah.
And where Bisping doesn't entertain the grappling at all.
That's true.
And he stays on the outside, and he also has that beast of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
But right away, I was like, oh, God, that sucks, because I love Bisping. I'm like, God, that's a bad fight for him. And I was sitting there, I'm like, well, cardio, 5 rounds. If he can survive those first 2, maybe 3, Dragon Lake mm-hmm. Water, it's a fun fight. Definitely watch that bad boy.
I mean, you can't. It's hard to do MMA math, right? MMA
math. You do style matchups, right. Though, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I was saying, like, Bisping lost to Tim Kennedy. Tim Kennedy lost to Yoel, but Tim Kennedy was beating Yoel. Like, that's another thing that Yoel's corner did this fight that was fucked up, man. They covered him with water. They threw water on him while he was sitting there resting.
Between first and second.
Uh huh. They put an ice pack on him, and he poured water on himself. He poured it on his legs. He poured it on his arms. He poured it all over him, and they wiped him down. I mean, he was trying to cool himself off, probably.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to do that.
No.
And they spent time wiping him down before the round started. So, like, they wiped him down in between the corner, but then the referee stopped it and made them wipe him down more.
So he gets more rest.
Yeah, really? Look, for sure they're aware— When that happened with Tim Kennedy. When Tim Kennedy had him fucked up at the end of that second round, he absolutely and on purpose stayed on that stool longer than he was supposed to.
Some would say it was a smart move.
Yes.
Obviously, it ended up working in his favor.
It's smart if you're a cheater, if you're okay with cheating. But it is cheating. It's cheating. You have an allotted
100%
minute,
is cheating.
100%.
Yes.
Right? You have
Tim should have won that fight.
And the referee should have probably stopped the fight, but I'm sure Big John didn't want the fight to end, didn't want to cheat everybody out of the fight, just wanted the guy to get back up.
But then you cheat Tim Kennedy, who... Mm-hmm. Is the one person you don't want to cheat out of this.
And Tim is walking around, like, yelling while this
pissed.
Is all going off.
Pissed.
Yeah. The whole thing was a mess. It was a mess. That was a clusterfuck of a moment. But it just shows you, this guy has a massive amount of experience in international competition in wrestling. And there's, like, a lot of shit that goes on in wrestling, you know, where you have to take advantage of whatever you can to win. You know, and all these years of high-level competition on the international scene... He's probably got a bunch of little tricks like that he could do to slow down the pace or give himself a little extra time.
What's 15, 20 seconds? 15, 20 seconds for a guy like Yoel Romero to replenish?
Giant.
You're talking
giant.
Night and day difference for a guy like that.
And I think it was also 30 seconds with the Tim Kennedy fight, if I remember. Maybe 23.
I feel like it was longer than that.
I don't remember.
Talking about Stoolgate.
Yeah, Stoolgate. But also then there's a psychological issue. Because Kennedy now thinks the fight's over. Is it not over? Like, he doesn't know where he's at.
There's nothing worse than that. When you think the fight's over and they're like, no, back in, man.
That's what always kills me about Glory when they have that extra round. Oof. We go one more round. Imagine you get through 3 rounds of kickboxing and then finally you're drinking water. You got your arms up. And referee says blah, blah, blah. And it's all a draw.
Well, think if you're Tyrone Woodley. Think if you're Woodley.
Well, how about Bruce Buffer fucking it up where we
what was
we
going
said
on
it was
there?
A decision?
What was going on? Because you were like, whoa, whoa, everyone chill. You were like, chill.
Yeah. Well, here's what was going on. First of all, Bruce said it wrong. It was not a majority decision. It was a majority draw.
Correct.
But they probably wrote it down wrong for him. Look, New York does not do any MMA. They've never done MMA before.
No
this
shit.
This is the first event, right?
So they pulled off Rashad, yeah.
Exactly. So they do this thing where they tally up the scorecards, they give it to Bruce, and I guess it said majority decision, Tyron Woodley. They read 2 judges score a draw, 1 judge scores it for Woodley, and Woodley retains the title, but it's supposed to be a majority draw.
Yes.
That's what the majority of the people thought it was a draw, so it's a majority draw. So Bruce said it wrong, whether they gave it to him wrong, I don't know.
Steve Harvey moment.
Yes, and then Tyron freaked out. And then the audience booed. The audience went crazy. And I said, dude, you still have your title. Just hold on. And they wanted Bruce to say it again. So Bruce says it again. I was going to say it again onto the microphone.
Yeah.
But they're like, Bruce insisted he get the mic and he says it again. So he says it again. And he, you know, because he wanted to correct the mistake. So he says it again, and then I have to say the audience is booing. I'm like, this is the exact same score.
Yes.
It's the exact same score. It's just the wrong definition.
Just read wrong, yeah.
That's all.
And
I think it was probably pretty accurate, too.
I think it was right. It's before it, I think maybe with 10 seconds left, I look at Brian, I went, I bet you anything. It's crazy. And I even tweeted out before this, and I went, I think it's a draw. Brian goes, no, championship match. I go, I feel like it's a draw. I give that a 10-8, and then I scored the other rounds. I forget how I scored them. I think it's a draw.
Some people didn't give Woodley a 10-8 for the fourth round. Because at the end of the round, Wonderboy was on top of him punching him.
That's insane.
Yeah, but I mean, say,
that's a bully beatdown.
If anything, if he didn't do that, if Wonderboy didn't get out and wasn't on top, it might be a 10-7. Because not only did he hurt him with big punches, then he almost choked the life out of him. I mean, he had him in a deep guillotine. And people are telling me that wasn't a good guillotine. I'm like,
Fuck you.
Out of your fucking mind.
You're insane. Have a guy as strong as Woodley. Let's say his position's a little off. He's not to the side.
Let me just say that for the record.
And what round is it? What round was that?
Third round.
So your cardio already.
Fourth round.
Fourth round. You're already exhausted. And you have that 170-pound monster around your neck.
And he's not 170.
No, he's every bit of what? Probably 200?
Probably 200
around
pounds.
There.
And, by the way, he's a brown belt. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Do you think Tyron Woodley doesn't know how to choke people? You're fucking crazy. It was a very good choke. And I was amazed.
Me too, man.
One of the things I was thinking was like, Wonderboy has a skinny-ass neck.
And tiny head.
Yeah.
Smaller head than me.
And the small head thing is smaller head than me.
I have a
that
tiny
was
head.
Woodley said, well, I knew he had a little head.
Did he really?
Like, oh, shit. I didn't even think about his head. I was thinking about the size of his neck.
He has a slender neck,
yes.
Tiny head. Isn't it amazing the human body can take that? Like, amazing. How did his head not rip off?
How did his neck not break?
That's what I'm saying.
Woodley's
can you imagine
so
if he won
strong.
By broken neck?
I guarantee you, if he had that in the first round, he probably wouldn't have been able to finish
it. I agree.
It.
But how
I
tough is...
I shouldn't say I guarantee
how, well, yeah, I see what you're saying
yeah,
now.
But
different
been,
story.
Yeah, different story.
How tough is Wonderboy, though?
Ridiculous.
And tough. And I know Wonderboy. We had the same manager. We've trained together a bunch. Love the guy. I've always, and this is just me, I've always questioned his toughness because he does come from a privileged family. Like, they have this huge Taekwondo Academy in South Carolina, and he has a great home life, and his dad's his coach, and his brothers are studs.
Is it Taekwondo or just karate?
I'm not sure.
I think it's just karate.
Is it just karate?
Karate style.
Yeah, you're probably right. One of
I
those.
Think so.
But he has this huge school. You know what I'm saying? Very successful.
Yeah.
Been to dinners with his dad and the whole family. Like, God, this guy has everything going for him. So when I see that, it's like, you know, it's the Calabasas kids thing. Like, you never see the tough skinned Calabasas isn't going to do shit in the UFC. It's just that when they're privileged like that. So when the going gets rough, I've always kind of questioned Wonderboy. And I've never seen it, though. Because the Matt Brown fight, you know, his last loss, and it was back and forth. There's a scrap. I'm like, all right, whatever. This fight, man, I was watching it with fans. I was standing up clapping. Like, what is going on right now, man? What the
crazy.
Fuck are you talking about?
It was a crazy fight. And there was a lot interesting. First of all, how fucking hard does Tyron Woodley hit? Jesus Christ.
What? God,
dude,
man.
He has one of the best straight right hands in the business.
And if it lands,
yeah.
I can't believe Wonderboy didn't get knocked out.
Unbelievable. Well, I mean, he's a guy who's fought in professional kickboxing. He has a 57-0 combined kickboxing record, amateur and pro.
I guarantee he didn't fight anyone that kickboxing circuit that punches as hard as Tyron Woodley.
And not with 4-ounce gloves either.
No, exactly.
That's the other big – he can punch faster with those little gloves on, and it hurts more when it lands.
So let's say Dana does do the rematch. They don't do Conor Woodley, and they do the rematch. I was thinking about it.
Three titles.
Where
the fuck is me third belt?
But Woodley was a slight underdog. And if you listen to Duke Rufus, who was talking about their game plan, I think he was talking about in the post-fight press conference, their game plan, why, and you even mentioned it, you're like, I don't get why Tyron is against the cage. Like,
right.
And I didn't like it either. I'm like,
right.
What's he doing? He's getting murked.
Right.
That was their game plan because...
Well, do you know he does that a lot?
Yes, he does that a lot. And,
yeah.
And Wonderboy is a counter-striker, so they wanted to bring him to Woodley. That was their thinking,
mm-hmm.
by him being against the cage and do all that, and then get him to commit to take him down.
Right.
So they kind of, it surprised Wonderboy a little bit. But in the rematch, I think it favors Wonderboy so much more because now he knows Woodley's going to fight like that.
He might not fight like that. Again.
He might not fight like that. So then and this is my thinking here. I think the ability to change and be more dynamic is in Wonderboy's favor.
Sort of.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, in a way. But here's the thing. Woodley only took him down once in the whole fight and mauled him once he got him to the ground.
Which is now, why Wonderboy didn't tee off.
What if Woodley decides to do that? every fucking round. You know, I don't know how much Wonder Boy can stop Woodley from taking him down. Woodley's so much bigger, so much stronger, and a way better wrestler.
Way
better. If Woodley takes him down like he took him down the first round, I mean, that might have been the strategic error, because Woodley mauled him in the first round. By the end of the round, his nose is fucked up, he's got a giant cut, he's leaking blood.
Correct.
And Woodley just held him down and dominated him on the ground. So if he just does that in the round two, and I mean, if he was able to do that instead of try to stand and knock him out, he might have been able to stop him.
Correct, but the reason why he got that takedown is based off those kicks,
mm-hmm.
and then Wonderboy stopped kicking as like he wasn't looking for the knockout. Does that make sense? Like he was so hesitant after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like the reason he got that was because of the kick. So I think Wonderboy can make changes, more of changes, to win the next fight.
Maybe
it's all up in maybe. Who knows? Yeah. But I'm saying, as far as game plan wise, I think it favors Wonderboy.
Yeah, but here's the thing: now that Tyron knows like Wonderboy's timing, and he's able to rock him, he's going to have some serious confidence in launching that right hand.
But go ahead and move forward on Wonderboy, see what happens.
Yeah, but sometimes it works. I mean, he's been able to take him down. Other people have been able to take him down. And when he gets him down, like, the difference in the grappling was pretty fucking evident to me.
Oh, it looked like a white belt versus, you know, just a
experienced
guy.
He's so much stronger, so much better at holding him in place. I was like, man, if this fight goes this way, Woodley's going to run away with it. That was
easy.
What I thought the first round.
Me too.
He busted him open bad.
Bad, man.
And then when you're dealing with Wonder Boy, you're dealing with that weird sideways stance and just popping that jab in his face.
Hands down.
He's a weird guy to spar with.
The other thing is, Wonder Boy, really, he didn't let his hands go at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Yeah. That left hand, and like he's so good at going southpaw traditionally, he can go back and forth, but it was all kicks for him.
Well, I think he was worried after that takedown and getting busted up, mm-hmm. of even, you know, opening up.
Getting taken down again.
But, you know, Tyron's a totally different animal, too. He's a different animal than Johnny Hendricks. Like,
great
Johnny,
athlete.
Yeah, and the Johnny Hendricks that Wonder Boy faced, let's be honest, he's not the same guy.
Not even close.
He's just not.
No, I don't know.
He's not the same guy that knocked out John Fitch. He's not the same guy that knocked out Martin Campman. He's just not the same guy.
No.
Just not.
No.
For whatever reason. Speculate all you want, internet.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's motivation. Maybe it's personal
problems.
He
changed camps. Who knows?
He opened up a steak restaurant, and then it went out of business.
Terrible idea. But maybe he
terrible.
Just... Terrible idea, sir.
The worst? If you're a celebrity and you got some cash, maybe the worst idea?
Yeah, restaurant's not the way to go.
Hey, I'm tired
just
of being successful.
Look at the numbers. Yeah.
And happy. I'd rather be stressed out and broke.
I hate money. Do you have a restaurant I can invest in? It's a terrible idea.
Even if they just put his name on it, he's still associated with that failure, and I'm sure he had to have some form of commitment to it.
I'm sure you got a sign while people are eating fucking T-bones for 30% off or something like that.
And the Yahoo and Yelp reviews, rather, they were terrible.
Were they bad?
Oh, they were the worst. It was like one star.
We can't be associated with that,
you
man.
You can't. Like, if you want to open up a restaurant and you're a celebrity, good luck. It should be like a really small place.
Or be a silent investor. Like, don't be the face of it.
Well, there's a bunch of places like that in L.A.
100%.
Yeah, a gang of them.
Like our boy Travis Barker, he owns Crossroads. You don't see him marking stuff like that, but it's like, and obviously not your cup of tea, but it's all vegan restaurant.
It's good, though.
It's like the number one place in L.A. as far as vegan goes.
It's really good.
Yeah. But you don't see him blasting out there, like his face on the front of the restaurant.
Right.
Fucking playing the drums while they're serving up spring rolls.
Well, they were calling it the Big Rig Steakhouse.
God damn it. Yeah. Well, that's some Texas shit.
Yeah, it's Texas
shit. It might work in Texas, right? Big Rig Steakhouse.
Well, hey, man.
I might get a T-bone
awesome,
from Big Rig.
What if it was awesome? You know, what if
it doesn't
you
sound
there,
like it, though,
it
is it?
Insane. No, it doesn't.
Has that ever worked? Well, I guess, you know, Elway did it. John Elway did it. His Elway Steakhouse in Denver kills it.
Really?
That's a fine steak, though.
Ted has them.
Who's Ted?
Ted Turner.
Oh, yeah,
he's got those Teds.
Yeah, true.
That's
Shanahan's
all
has
bison
it.
Bison meat and shit.
Yeah, it's a tough gig, man.
Tough.
Rocky did in the last one.
But it's also for an athlete, especially a fighter, where your mind, and you first of all, you have this event that happens, and I don't have to tell you this, but for everybody listening, it takes months before the event. You're thinking about this event, you're preparing for the event, and then the event is one night. Anything that can fuck your head up along the way should be avoided.
Yeah, you shouldn't be thinking about getting mass discounts on T-bones and filet. You should be really worried about Wonder Boy.
Yeah. Anything that can fuck you up. You know, there's so many different things that can creep into your mind.
Well, look, and I mean, great transition. Look at Miesha Tate.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking anything away from Pennington. I thought she looked brilliant. She did her job.
I thought that was a real bad matchup for Miesha, honestly. Pennington's super underrated.
She's underrated for sure. I also think that version of Miesha, I I just said, that's Misha doesn't look into it or something else is going on. She's having an off night. She, it didn't look like the normal Misha we're used to seeing. And for Misha, for her to say, yeah, I'm done. I couldn't hear it because, again, I was watching with a live crowd, so I couldn't hear it. But she retired, correct?
Yeah, she retired.
What'd she say? She was just like, I'm out?
Yeah, she says, I just want to say I'm done. And I said, was this based entirely on your performance? Is this something you planned? And she said, no, it was based on my performance. And then she said that I've taken a lot of punishment. And
that's fair, man. That's fair.
For sure.
I mean, she's also, to me, she's someone you want your daughters to look up to. Like, she's such a great face for women's MMA. Just because, obviously, she's a beautiful young lady. Probably the best looking one in the UFC. But she speaks very well. She has the skills. You're talking about a lady who, if you would have told her she'd been champ in the UFC, you know, after you've seen her fights with Ronda and these other fights, I'm sure she'd be like, you're full of shit. And she just came back from this adversity. Like, when she beat Holly,
amazing,
man. Yeah. And for her now, there's so much more for her to do. This is why I'm proud of her and her getting out when she did, because I don't know if you've heard her break down fights as a female analyst. She is so damn good. It's ridiculous.
Well, she's very smart.
She's very smart. She's very good at breaking down the fights. As far as not like Joe Rogan style, Brian Stan style, Dominic Cruz style, she's good as a analyst. Mm-hmm. When she's up there with like Stan and Bisping and those guys. And
have you had her on your show?
We have not had her on her show. I listened to her on your show and I thought she was brilliant.
She's got her own show now too.
She has her own podcast.
Yeah.
Well, she's already doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But I think for her, man, like, sky's the limit. I really do.
I think you're right. And I think if she really, I mean, everybody always says that if you have 1 foot out the door, you should just walk, just go. There you go.
Here. And that's why he sat me down. Here.
Well, you know.
You're like, excuse me, sir, you're telling dick jokes and trying to fight right now.
Well, it's one thing watching somebody who you don't love, who's just like, well, you know, or even you do love, you don't have that close of a relationship with, but as a friend, you know, you have a close friendship with someone, you see the path. I mean, it's one of those things, man. You see it time and time again. I can name you 100 guys that I know that are kind of half in the game. And they still do it, and every now and then they get knocked out, or they'll fight some Yair Rodriguez type motherfucker, some upcoming phenom, and get lit up and all in. Yeah, those all in guys are fucking scary.
Yeah, and you know, for me, it was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. So,
well, I think it's probably going to be the best thing for Misha too. And one of the things that I said to Misha was like, you know, you've already achieved the highest achievement ever in MMA. You were a world champion in the UFC. So, like, you know, that no one could ever take that from her. She won it in spectacular fashion, and it was an amazing accomplishment. That's a giant thing to have on your resume, former world champion.
And she's at the perfect time, just talking about from business side of things, is the UFC's contract with Fox is coming up. So what they're going to do, from my understanding, is it's going to be on multiple networks. So it's going to be like the NFL or NBA or whatever, these other sports leagues, where they're not just tied to Fox, which opens up the door for ESPN, CBS, all these other networks. Mm. So that opens up the door for all these other shows for her. So if I'm Misha Tate, I don't sign with Fox right now.
Right.
Granted, she's the best female analyst in the game to me. I think she waits till that deal goes and then fields all the offers. And she has the time to do it.
She might, or UFC might offer her some sort of an in-house gig. You know, who knows? I could see that happening too.
And I'm saying don't do that.
Don't do that for
her. If I'm her manager, don't do that. Let them play the negotiating game, and she has so many talents, and no one's coming along like her who speaks or looks like her.
Yeah, isn't that happening with you guys? Isn't there a network issue?
Yes, there is a network issue.
Some sort of an issue with you guys being on Fox?
Yeah. Well, for us, it's just Brian goes, don't talk about that on Rogan.
And I'm like, we got to talk about it.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm an open book, man. I'm like, do what?
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
No, I know. We always talk about it. For me, it's just, you know, I'm always in the understanding of we don't need anybody. And you've always said that. And I think the Fire and the Kid fan base and what we've achieved has literally nothing to do with Fox. You know, they gave us a studio, and I'm grateful for that stuff. But we would be here with or without them. You know,
the studio is not that big a deal. You just rent office space. A lot of guys, we all know people that do it. Tom and Christina do it. Joey Diaz does it. I do it. A lot of people do it. They just rent space.
Correct.
It's not hard to do.
No. And, you know, our biggest issue would be finding a good producer to help us, like a young Jamie.
All you would have to do is put out the ad, throw the bat signal up online. I'm sure this will
Here's the bat signal.
Yeah.
Here's your bat signal. Yeah.
Holla at
Brendan
Schaub on Twitter.
We're looking for one.
Yeah. I mean, if you find someone who knows how to handle the internet side of things, and I'm sure Jamie can help them.
Yeah.
What's going on today today that's really interesting in podcasting, and we've kind of talked about this before, but is that the real network is the organic network between friends.
Correct.
It's between all of us, between Joey and Bill Burr and Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura. We're all just a bunch of friends.
Yep.
And we talk about each other and we have each other on and everybody finds out about each other from each other. And we retweet each other and re-Instagram each other and support each other. And that's like a real network where there's no like deals going on. There's no paper signed. It's and then everybody's sort of benefiting from it equally. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets something out of it, you know? That's a real network. This other thing is a weird business where non-creative people capitalize on the work of creative people, and they provide you with what? A series of walls and an internet connection? Yep. Oh, thank you. You definitely should get half the money. You out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It's just a different age now that we're going into, and we're in a good spot. That's a good thing. We're in a good spot, and we have offers from all these other networks and stuff like that. So,
well, that's all good in the hood. The most important thing is just you guys love what you do, and the show's fun. And
that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, man. And then people are going to still enjoy it. So it's almost like think about it as little as you can, I guess.
You know? Oh, for me, I see it as a opportunity. Like when we were discussing it today, I was excited. I'm like, oh, yes. We kind of get our Joe Rogan on now.
Yeah, you got to do that for sure. A lot of guys have done, you know, my friend Dave Rubin, who was on last week, he had a similar situation. He was with one network. He left that. He went with another network. And he was like, what the fuck am I doing? And I told him, I'm like, dude, just be free. Just get out there.
Well, I think what people don't realize is like all the guests, the marketing, the merchandise, like I've hired our own booker. We've had our own public. Like, it's all in-house. It's all whatever I want to do with it. Like, we literally just show up to the studio.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they thought that they'd get 50% of that. It seems so crazy.
It's insane.
It's just, maybe they just don't know how much money it is.
They don't. I was literally laughing, like physically laughing. Like, oh, you have.
How'd you guys resolve it? How'd you end it?
Now it's off to the agents.
Oh, boy.
Call my agent, like, there you go, man.
First of all,
have fun with this.
They should have never brought you in the first place. All that stuff is supposed to be done with agents. They're not supposed to bring you in and talk financials with you with no representation.
Correct. However, I'm very, and if to almost to a fault, I'm very in on as far as the business side things go with firing the kid. Like, I want to be involved. Now, now when it goes to negotiating, all right, you guys do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to change the logo from a maroon to an orange, you better fucking go over it with me. If you do something without me knowing, then we have issues.
Do they think they can do that kind of shit, though? Do you think that they would start doing that if they...
They did it once, and I was like, what?
What did they do?
They changed something. It was some logo. They tweeted something out that I didn't approve. And, you know, you can call me a control freak, but...
So this is like the network did that? Fox did that?
Yeah. Well, they have certain people run the accounts, you know?
So they just decided that they were going to do that?
I'm like, oh, what are you doing, man? You know what I'm saying? So...
Well, you're in a weird gray area. You know, you have your own show. You have a very limited amount of people that are in charge of that show. But all these other people that are sort of used to, like, if they have a show, they get a say.
Yeah.
I remember when they were telling you not to swear.
Yeah. Oh, no, they censored
for a
while.
That's when I told you guys to go get free. I'm like,
you've been saying that forever.
You can't do no swearing. What?
I know. I know. It makes the audience, like, almost you think they're stupid or they can't handle the swear words.
Well,
people are getting upset.
It takes away everything that's great about the internet. What's great about the internet is you could be yourself.
You got to be yourself, but also what they don't realize, and again, it's just an old school way of thinking. They don't realize how big podcasting is getting because whether I'm at Fox, I'm in Joe Rogan's bathroom doing the podcast, the listeners just want the audio. You know, they just want the show.
Well,
they don't give a fuck.
You could do the show.
It.
I got a little microphone that I hook up to this fucking thing to my
That's what
my
Bill
phone.
Burr does.
Dude, it's amazing.
He just goes off his iPhone like a maniac.
Dude, it's easy.
And it still works. Mark Maron does that in his garage, for God's sakes. That's a president in his garage.
Yeah. Well, he's actually got a pretty sweet setup.
No, he really does, but you get the point.
Yeah. I'm going to try to find this shit in here. I'm going to show you what this thing is.
It's just a different kind of day and age of media, and we're in a good spot, man, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I just don't think that I'll find it later, but anyway, it's a microphone
that
sits in here and has a built-in little tripod on it. So I think it's called an Apogee or something like that. Here.
You ever used the Zoom mic?
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, Brian and I started a Zoom mic in his garage.
Yeah. All these, it's just, you don't need much.
You don't need much. I mean, we're trying to go the freaking JRE experience. And then Jamie told me how much that goddamn mothership board is over there. I'm like, you know what? I'll probably see if I can get that at Goodwill or something like that.
Sweat this. This little thing right
sweat
here.
This.
See this little jammy? This little microphone? I take this little microphone. I screw it into here. This little baby here is a little fucking tripod that it sits on. It all comes in this little case. I pop that sucker down. You can set it up in a hotel room.
Damn, son. Yeah. That's what you did on the plane when you were with Dana and Tony?
No, on the plane with Dana and Tony, I didn't even have this yet.
Damn, the thing's dope.
Dude, it's the shit.
Wow.
You tighten it down.
What's it called?
It's called an Apogee or something like that. I set that up, and it's a real live condenser microphone.
And it picks up all the voices clear?
And it does it all through your phone.
That's really dope.
It's incredible.
That's really cool.
This is all you need. Like, you don't need all this other shit. We do all this other shit because even way, way, way back in the day, I was like, why wouldn't we have a visual element of it? Why wouldn't we have, like, we were doing the streaming version of it even actually before we were doing anything else.
Visual is big, though. On our YouTube, we need the visual aspect of it for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you can't downgrade now. But also for us, it's just, you just want to continually get better.
Keep working, baby.
I can't believe they didn't fire us. I have to say, it's some outlandish shit on that show. I can't believe Fox wasn't like, listen, we just can't have it.
Well,
I don't think they pay attention. They know the numbers.
They know the numbers. That's one thing they do know.
Correct.
Because you're on their network.
Correct.
So they're like, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because there's not another thing that they have that
especially,
gets to kind of download.
There was a time there when I, especially right when I retired, and I was like, you know, I was angry. I was angry at certain things, man. I'd lash out on the mic and stuff like that, especially they're obviously in cahoots with the UFC. So how they didn't fire me, I have no idea.
Well, I think the worst thing could be that they did fire you. It's actually smart that they didn't, because you know what the Streisand effect is?
Yeah, like when UFC Now banned me and I went howling like a little owl to everybody.
Or, you know, there's a bunch of examples of things like that have happened where someone gets bigger because, like, Milo Yiannopoulos, you know who he is?
Yeah, he got banned from Twitter,
He got banned from Twitter because he was making fun of Ghostbusters. He became bigger than ever. He became like this cultural alt-right icon because of that.
It's publicity you can't pay for. Look at Ariel Helwani. Bad example, Ariel Helwani. Remember when the UFC banned him, kicked him out, and they went on all those networks? And UFC was like, my bad, you're back in.
Yeah, for a little while. Now he's out again.
Is he out again?
Yeah.
Why is he out again?
Because of the Brock Lesnar thing? Remember when...
Is he out again? I thought he was in New York.
I don't think so. I saw him. Was he there in the arena? Did he have press credentials?
I don't know about me. I saw him walking around like...
Oh, he was fired from Fox. That's what he was
fired from. Oh, yeah, he was fired from Fox. Yeah.
No, for that, though.
But not fired from his show and doing the UFC media.
So he was banned from being in the media for a little while, and then they let him back in. Is that how it works?
Yeah, but the thing is, in Dana's defense and the UFC's defense is... The NFL, you know, that certain leagues do that. They don't allow certain people in.
Mm.
So it's not, you know, like as much as North Korea as we thought. Like there are leagues who ban guys from coming to the events.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck the NFL does, so it's not even worth me talking about it. How about Khabib Nurmagomedov?
Ooh.
What a fucking scary monster that guy is. But here's the thing.
He did get clipped, though, didn't he?
He got clipped. Michael Johnson clipped him. And I'm watching that, and I was like, what would Conor do to this kid?
Right? Because before, I'm like, Conor would get murked by Khabib. And I saw him like, well, if Johnson lands that, you bet your sweet-ass Conor's going to land that.
Yeah.
That magical left hand. I'm done questioning what Conor's capable of. Because I was like, Eddie's a tough matchup. I think he's going to win this one. I do. God damn, I'm scared for this fight.
I kind of want to see him fight Woodley.
I'd love to see him fight Brock Lesnar.
I want to see him take 6 months off. I want to see him take 6 months off and bulk up.
You know
just
what's crazy?
Put on a little bit of meat.
It's not that outlandish to see that fight.
Oh, no,
that's
it's
That's very
not.
Possible.
Oh, no, it's not. It's totally possible.
The hiccup in that is the UFC's like, do we just let him get all the belts and all the control? Like, where do we stop it before he's running this
bitch? You have to give up one of his belts to take on another one.
He needs to give up 45.
Give up 45.
He has 45. Yeah. He's never going to fight there again.
He might.
Ew, that cut down's tough. What matchup?
But the cut's different now because you're allowed to begin your rehydration much earlier. You can weigh in at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 to 10 in the morning. So by the time the ceremonial weigh-in rolls around, it was in New York City at 6 p.m., he was full. I mean, he looked great. He didn't look dehydrated at all.
At 55.
But even at 55, he used to look dehydrated, right?
Not too bad. 45, he looked near the door of death. And also...
That's right. We've never really seen him at 55 in the UFC.
We
have only seen him in Cage Rage or some other organizations. I don't know.
It's 45, it's just... I don't see how he even makes it. Even his camp's like, dude, it's way too tough on him. Just let that belt go, though. Now, you did your thing. Let it go because you're keeping that division hostage. You got Pettis, Max Holloway
coming
up.
It's funny.
I think it's hilarious, too.
It's funny because... because it's not my life, though. But if I was Aldo, I'd be fucking freaking out. Aldo, who is the champ forever,
retired.
Wants that rematch so bad.
It ain't happening.
Is he really retiring?
No, he retired and then thought he was going to go do something else. And he's like, and that he thought the UFC was like, oh, okay, do your thing. And then he realized how tough those contracts is and came back. Was like, well, looks like I have to fight. Let's do it. You know, like,
well, who's he going to fight?
I don't know.
The winner of Pettis and Holloway? Holloway's been knocking on the fucking door for a long time, man.
Nine straight. How he doesn't.
That's ridiculous.
He just needs a bigger name. He needs to get more famous. That's the day and age we're in. He just has to get famous or get on the mic, talk some shit.
I'm really interested to see him versus Pettis because Pettis, I think, gets real diminished by that cut.
I agree.
That's a hard cut for him to get on 45.
And I love Pettis, man. I'm a huge Pettis fan. But he hasn't looked the same as of late.
Max Holloway's a slick motherfucker, too. You realize it now. After you watch Frankie Edgar and Jeremy Stephens fight, you realize how slick Holloway is. Yeah, Holloway was never in trouble in that fight.
Never. Well, and then also think about it. His last loss was Conor McGregor. Granted, mm-hmm. Conor had a jacked up knee, but it went to decision.
The only decision Conor's had in the UFC.
And think how much better Max Holloway mm-hmm. is now.
Yep.
If he wins this one, dear God, if someone's listening, give that kid a title shot.
Yeah.
What's he have to do?
I know.
What do you do with Tony and Khabib, though? You're talking about two crazy win streaks, too. How do you even just make them fight?
Yes.
That's what I think. You make them fight.
Make them fight.
But let's say you had to pick one of them. If Conor's like, all right, I'll fight at 55 in 3 months. Who the fuck wants some?
Well, right now, before that fight, Tony Ferguson was the number one contender. Rightly so. Just beat Rafael Dos Anjos, beat a shitload of guys.
Because he's so active, you're saying?
He beat Edson Barboza. He was the number one contender, according to whatever the rankings are, which I don't think are accurate all
Those
the time.
Those are a toss-up.
Some of them kind of suck. Yeah. But the second position right now, if he's still number one, is clearly Khabib. Khabib was number one, but Khabib's been way more inactive than Tony. But the way Khabib mauled Michael Johnson, I think he makes his case. That was a mauling.
They both have a case. One's undefeated. One's mm-hmm. on a nine-fight win streak. Mm-hmm. And then Tony, you know, I thought he dismantled RDA. I thought he looked great.
Amazing.
Khabib absolutely ragdolled Dos Anjos, too. Yeah. And then fucking destroy Johnson.
It was horrible watching him beat up Johnson. You know, because he's so good at tying up that one arm.
Oh.
He ties up the one arm and then fucking smashes you with
the
other one.
He had him in mount and his arm was pinned. I'm like, God, stop the fight.
He's got one arm to try to protect him, and he's getting just thumped in the head.
Then you got to hold that chicken wing. I thought he was going to snap that bitch off.
Yeah, it's not good. I thought he was, too. But please tap.
It was like Braveheart. Just come on, man.
It was so deep, too. Ugh. I was thinking when Nog and Frank Mir fought.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is going to snap.
But like same with Henzo where they refuse to tap. I get that. You're Brazilian jiu-jitsu to the day you die. Michael Johnson, just go ahead and tap, though, sir.
Yeah,
that's not you.
I'm glad he tapped.
Me too.
I was literally squeezing my hands together when I was doing the commentary. I'm like, come on, tap. Just
sweating out thinking
about it. When he got him down and then immediately slid right into mounted guillotine, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Damn, man. His grappling's ridiculous.
So good. His grappling's so good, it's confusing.
I don't... Those two fightings, the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fight.
Conor and Khabib are the fight. That's the fight.
That's not happening, brother.
I think Khabib needs to get the title, to get a title shot at least. That's what I think. I think he deserves it. He's the only undefeated challenger. He's a monster. He's mauled everybody in front of him. He hasn't had a single goddamn close fight. He's had one moment where he gets dinged.
But you're speaking logically.
Yes.
And you're thinking guys that deserve it.
Well,
we're in entertainment, sir. Just the same way Conor leapfrogged everyone and got the title shot.
Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. Really? The UFC is about to go to Russia. Do you know that?
Yeah, they want to get in there.
They don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah, for
UFC,
sure.
UFC in Russia, Conor McGregor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's what I think is coming.
Giant.
There's a lot of Russians.
Giant.
Because Khabib got on the mic, right, and was like, you know how much bigger fucking Russia is than Ireland?
Yeah.
But he's not the same star.
Well, here's the deal, though. Russia's bigger than Ireland, but the United States is bigger than Ireland, too. And when fucking Conor is fighting in New York City, which is an hour and a half from Eddie Alvarez's house, they're booing Eddie Alvarez as he's walking to the cage.
No, it doesn't matter. Russia, China, Korea, Ireland. Connor's the biggest star by far.
I don't know about that. When you go to Russia, I wonder if he gets booed in Russia.
Don't you think if Khabib was that big of a star in Russia, maybe it's maybe sanctioning stuff there. And they are going there.
If you check my Instagram page, every time a fucking photo gets up, it's Khabib time. No, Khabib champ.
He deserves it, but there's a reason why he hasn't been the headliner of a pay-per-view.
Maybe.
In the States here.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But he is a fucking monster, and he's a hero to the Russian MMA fans. This guy from Dagestan has been mauling everybody they put in front of him, and people think, and rightly so, that he's unjustly being kept from a title shot.
We can't say he's been kept from a title shot when he's been injured for a long
time. That's true, too.
Who's keeping him from getting injured? The blame that on AKA. That's not Conor's deal.
That's true, but they did promise him this fight. This was something that they said, no, Khabib gets the next shot at the title. This is something that was publicly stated, which made sense at the time because Khabib is 23-0. He's going to fight in Madison Square Garden for the title. This is what they were saying.
Now you're talking about the Conor
effect.
Khabib
versus Eddie Alvarez.
Nah,
right.
I can't have that. That doesn't sell tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Conor went, nah, I want to fight that one. Oh, Khabib, we'll keep you on the card. Why don't you fight on the undercard, though?
Imagine how Khabib feels when he hears that shit. Man, he gets that phone call. He thinks, this is it, finally. I get the title.
I bet he went in his backyard and beat the shit out of that Kodiak bear.
He just has bears in his yard.
You ever seen that video?
He was a kid.
It's awesome.
Yeah, he's a kid wrestling
so much
bear.
Tougher than anyone I know. But he's so goddamn tough.
He's ridiculous. His grappling's ridiculous. I'm really interested in seeing whether or not he can get past that left hand.
And if you are correct, and that's the fight in Russia, the amount of money they're going to have to pay Conor to fight him in Russia when Conor's still the draw, you're talking about a different ball game. Show me the money.
It's going to be interesting, though. Like, what other Russian badasses are there that fight in the UFC? Did you see that Korshkov just got knocked the fuck out in Bellator?
Yes, dude, which was crazy, by Lima.
Dude, yeah. Lima's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, Korshkov's a monster.
Yeah.
Speaking of Russians or in that area, and not to flip the script here, but this weekend is Andre Ward versus Kovalev.
Yeah, that's
best
this weekend.
Boxing matchup in a long
that's
time.
A big
no one's
fight.
Talking about it either. It drives
I know,
me nuts.
I know.
I've been watching all the countdowns and shit. I can't get enough of it.
I know. I watched that last countdown thing they did too. It was on after the Victor Ortiz fight.
Yeah, did Ortiz looked like shit.
Well, the dude who fought was like on survival mode.
He was terrified.
Yeah, he didn't throw any punches.
Nothing.
And they said through the whole fight, he threw 100 and something punches.
He was so scared. And then Ortiz would touch him, he'd pretend to fall down because he's like waiting for
the
knockout.
But he also was grabbing his head, saying he got hit in the back of the head a couple of times.
It was a terrible fight.
Wasn't good.
But that you're right. Right after that was Andre Ward versus Kovalev.
Mm.
Like the countdown, kind of their background. And Andre Ward, to me, he's just a bigger version of Floyd Mayweather. Like his defense is insane, but he has knockout power. He hasn't lost since he's 13. I give him the advantage. Some people think Kovalev's going to win. I don't know what the betting odds are.
I was stunned by the way Kovalev handled Hopkins. And I know Bernard's old.
He's 100 years old.
So he's 1,000.
He looks like a turtle.
He looks old.
He's fighting again.
December 10th or 12th.
I think
or
in L.A.
Like
I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that, sir. Please stop fighting.
I'm not going to go either. I'm going to be in that's the Toronto UFC that weekend. It's also the weekend of glory. That's Badr Hari versus Rico Verhoeven.
Was that the best weekend ever besides that Hopkins fight?
It's a good fucking card,
dude, that
too.
Toronto card is stacked.
It is now.
Because you got
now.
Kennedy, Rashad, Cowboy, Matt Brown.
Yeah, Cowboy versus Matt Brown is better than Cowboy versus Gastelum.
100%. That fight did nothing for me.
Well, Gastelum's done now, man. He's in a bad, bad, bad place. Well,
Dana says he has to fight 85 now.
He's missed. He's said that before and made him fight 85. Maybe he beat Nate Marquardt at 85.
Correct, sir.
Wasn't that 85 that he fought Marquardt?
No, he fought Marquardt at 70.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was one of those fights that he beat somebody because he got sent up to 85 and then he proved that he could make the weight. And he's blaming George Lockhart now.
The only person you can blame is yourself. Like, you know, man, especially it being an experience, is you know. And it's so frustrating. That shows you what kind of card the UFC 205 was. I didn't even blink. I didn't bat an eye to that. All right, what's next? Look at this fucking card.
I know.
Tim K. Rashad, that sucks. Oh, my God, look at this card.
Yeah. Well,
now Toronto's just stacked.
Gastelum is a really elite fighter. He's a very tough guy.
He beat a lot of tough guys.
I'm a big fan of that kid. I think he's awesome. But he needs to lose some fucking body fat, period. You're not a heavyweight. You're not Cain Velasquez. He can't walk around with that much body fat.
Well, he posts on Instagram like a week before or 2 weeks before a fight, like, real Mexican dinner. It's like these fucking burritos, enchilada style. All right, man, we can't have that. We cannot have that, sir.
You can't do that. He's an elite professional athlete who absolutely could still, to this day, win the world title.
He has the skill, for sure.
He has the skill.
And he's fought the guys. He beat Woodley, yeah?
Did he beat Woodley, or what, in the decision? Where he didn't fucking make weight.
There you go.
That was a decision where he didn't fucking make weight. And Woodley, being the great guy that he is, didn't take the percentage.
The 30%?
Yeah, 20, I think it is, when your opponent doesn't make weight.
It's 30%.
Is it 30?
30.
Okay. I thought it was 20. Woodley, being a great guy that he is, said, I don't want that money. And he beat him by decision. So Woodley got the win bonus, too. But Kelvin, I don't know who Kelvin has fought at 85 in the last few years, but he's been forced at one point in time to go up to 85. Just needs to fucking lose body fat. Just lose it and keep it off.
Dude, and any time a fighter doesn't make weight, Mike Dolce jumps out like Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. Excuse me, want to take a seat? You want to sit down? And he cannot wait to tweet out, ah, man, it's frustrating when guys miss weight.
Yeah,
he like does. He is just super thirsty, isn't he?
He's super thirsty.
Like Chris
thirsty.
Hansen on Catch a Predator. Just fucking can't wait to tweet about it.
Well, Dolce's got a whole staff. He's got a staff of people.
He's
know?
Expensive, though.
Yeah, he's got a... Well, he is expensive.
Yeah, for a reason. He's for got a good fucking, reason.
He's got an office building.
Yeah, I'm like an office working for Brooks. Him. Well, he's an employee of the UFC, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he has like 9 employees or something crazy.
Just looking up YouTube and how shit. To fucking lose weight and shit.
Yeah. But he,
that
you
motherfucker
know,
comes out of the curtains, though.
A lot of people weight? Disagree with him, though. A lot of people disagree with some of him, his methods. And if
yeah,
Lockhart...
Their name's BJ Penn.
Yeah, well, he was just upset that... Well, he was upset for a bunch of reasons. He made the weight, though. But he was upset that Dolce charged him so much. And you know,
said he really didn't do much. I don't know the whole story.
I don't know the whole story
either. I'm not taking sides there. Yeah. But I will tell you this. BJ Penn's a goddamn legend, so I'm siding with him usually.
Yeah.
And he's from Hawaii.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Me neither.
You'd have to be there. But point is, like, if you have someone who is monitoring every aspect of your weight cut, like your hydration levels, what kind of fluids you're drinking, what kind of foods you're eating, and it doesn't work out. If you did what that guy said and the weight didn't come off, somebody fucked up. Who fucked up? I don't know.
It'd be the guy you hired. But let me ask you this, Joe. Let's say it's not UFC 205.
He missed weight by 10 pounds, though.
Which is ridiculous. But let's say it's not UFC 205 where it's a card, not a stack. Let's say it's a main event in Toronto with DC and Rumble, which before that card was pure shit besides that fight. Now it's an amazing card. You got Max Holloway, Anthony Pettis, blah, blah, blah. Would it be crazy for the new UFC suits to hire nutritionists and they for those maybe just the main card, they designate you a guy to help you lose weight? Because it's your product.
It's not a bad idea. However, I think...
Like, maybe Mike Dolce works with everyone, and he has a team. Maybe it's not Mike Dolce, but he's writing the plan this year diet, and this person is assigned to you, and they're following up with you. Because who does it hurt when they don't make weight? It hurts the fighter, and then it hurts the UFC, too. Certain cards.
I think an even better strategy is seek to eliminate weight cuts. Seek to cut it out of the sport. It's unnecessary. It's dangerous. It puts guys at risk health-wise when they don't have to be at risk health-wise. I think the only thing that's holding it back are championship belts and more options of weight classes. I think if they could figure out what weight guys are where they compete at optimally, and then the same way you do USADA or USADA testing, you do hydration testing.
But how many weight classes? You'd have
give these guys
a jugillion weight classes.
Yep, you have more weight classes.
But then you have boxing.
No,
and that's what's the problem with boxing.
It's not a problem with boxing, though. Look, at Andre Ward and Kovalev, they're going to fight you. Well, you have less organizations. It's not like you have 5 different world title organizations and plus weight classes. You would just have plus weight classes. I think you would have more champions. You'd have more opportunity for championship titles.
I like that because you have more stars.
You also have more opportunity for title bouts between guys where the one guy decides to go up, one guy decides to go down. But instead of them doing it by dehydrating themselves 24 hours out, you make a contract to fight at a certain weight because that's what weight you are in a healthy way.
Which maximizes their skills and performance.
Yes, and it doesn't put them at the dangers that you have from being dehydrated 24 hours out. I think if anybody can
do
this, the UFC... Well, look.
Where do you, like, how many weight classes do you have where...
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying? Can you have 20 belts?
Well, I think boxing has that many.
And it's a real problem. Name 10 stars in boxing.
Me. But I don't care. Name 10 stars in the UFC.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 champions.
Well, 10 I can name champions and former champions easily.
Don't you think you could name 10 champion boxers, though? Manny Pacquiao.
Be tough.
Tim Bradley. If you want to start going on.
Yeah.
Terrence Crawford.
But the UFC has more stars than that.
Lomachenko. Vasily Lomachenko.
Lomachenko has 7,000 followers.
Floyd Mayweather. You know, you can keep going. You can name a bunch of champions in boxing.
But a
right?
lot of those guys are on the same weight, yeah? Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, you go up in heavyweight. You got fucking Klitschko.
Wilder.
I got Channing Anthony Briggs Joshua. On next week.
You did it,
Let's
son.
Go, champ.
What's up, champ?
Let's go, champ.
That's amazing. Next, he's fighting for
here.
A world title.
He's supposed to be here today, but he had to move it to, yeah, he's fighting for a world title.
Brilliant.
Interesting.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of heavyweight talent now. Anthony Joshua, he's a bad motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, that guy in freaking New Zealand that everyone talks about.
What is Tyson Fury doing?
He's retired and clinically, like, he's suicidal and needs some help. Mentally, he's just not there.
Whoa.
So he's out.
Yep. No. Don't.
He's crazy, man. That dude's crazy. I think, yeah, you need characters like that. But I like the idea, Joe, but the problem is it's tough enough for the average fan to keep up now with the stars.
I think that's the least of our concerns. The most important thing is to put on great fights. That's
exactly.
The most important thing.
Hire, because how much money?
Dehydration.
$4 billion.
The dehydration's dangerous and unnecessary.
No one's died.
They have in Brazil. I think if they figure out, it can come close to the UFC.
But has anyone died?
Do you know that Dos Anjos passed out for 3 fucking minutes before his fight with Eddie Alvarez, where he was unconscious and unresponsive?
But did you die?
He was on the door, bro.
But did you die?
Nobody's died. But I think people have been diminished considerably. And I think their performance suffers. So it makes a shittier product.
I agree.
If you want to look at it from a business. Plus, if the UFC has got, look, you could say, hey, steroids are part of the game. Are they? Well, not anymore. Now they're fucking knocking on your door at 6 o'clock in the morning and making you pee in a cup. If they decided to do that at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'd try to test people's hydration levels at 6 o'clock in the morning every day. And when it would find out what your weight is, okay, this is what your body fat is, this is what your weight is, this is the lowest you can get. They'll test you out when you're fully hydrated and when your body fat is, you know, wherever the fuck you are right now, they'll say, hey, okay, right now you're 178 pounds. Listen, the lowest you can fight is 172. That's it.
Bro, you're going to have 1,000 weight classes, and certain guys won't fight each other.
I don't know about that. I think some guys could gain a little weight. That's no big deal.
I don't mind the idea. I think you're right. You're going to get great performances.
Way better performances. I think the weight class
thing
can be worked
out. I think the easier
thing
to do is, I agree, they obviously need to do something. But yes. I think right now the easiest thing to do for them is to use whoever they want. Doesn't have to be right. Mike Dolce, but a number of them, and assign those to the main card guys to make sure they're coming on weight.
Yeah, but what about the guys in the undercard? Fuck them? That sounds crazy, too.
Does
all,
it? Because that's what they did with Reebok. Does it sound that crazy to say fuck them?
Yes, it does.
But that's the nature of the beast.
But I think that's crazy, too.
But
I think
but that's what they're
just
doing.
As crazy.
I'm just following the orders.
I understand that. But I'm saying, if I had the master key, the first thing I would do is say, come up with a strategy to stop weight cutting. We're going to come up with a new plan. And whether that new plan means abandoning world titles and making
people... How dare you?
Yes, yes.
You
introduce
you
someone as a world champion. You know, whoever the fuck they are, they get to, you know, bring their world title to the fight. But whenever their next title defense is or whatever the fuck it is, all this name stuff, welter, light, feather. First of all, it's goofy because it's not the right weight anyway. Welterweight is not 170. It's 147. That's what Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns fought at. They called it fucking welterweight.
Correct.
To start the UFC and just to say, well, it's welterweight. And then Pride fucked it up even more because they had it. It was different. Like, their middleweight was 203.
Correct.
Like, what
and
the
then light
fuck
heavyweight
is this?
Isn't 205.
It's not 205. No. It's 175.
Correct.
Everybody knows that.
Heavyweight's 201 plus.
Yeah, yeah. We grew up in boxing. And the weight classes were clearly defined. Why the fuck does the UFC have a 265-pound weight limit, too? Why are you making Brock Lesnar cut weight or whoever the fuck a big giant dude is? Like Shane. Why would you make Shane cut weight? If he wants to weigh 300 pounds, let that fucking big vanilla gorilla weigh 300 pounds. Who cares? I want to see it.
Dude, he has a matchup in Ryzen. I just saw it. Someone said, and I haven't
some
seen
some dude I've never heard of.
I've never heard of him. I guess he's just some fucking Middle Eastern monster.
Oh, no.
He's Olympic-level wrestler and knocks dudes out.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't I need to do research on the guy, but someone tagged me and I'm like, oh my god.
I thought they were gonna give him Fedor though. That's a big name matchup
for
Fedor.
But it's a tournament. It's like Pride style where you just get like the winner doesn't fight Fedor. It's supposed to be like a open weight tournament. It's
now,
dope.
What kind of work has Shane had done on his back?
He had surgery. I know he had a disc replacement, and then he hit some stuff on his neck.
He had a disc replacement?
Pretty sure.
Like they put one of those artificial jammies in there?
I don't want to speak for him, but he had surgery on his neck.
He didn't get it fused, did it? Did anything fused?
I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for Shane. I know he had surgery though, right. on his back. Yeah, yeah.
I like Ryzen because they let him take all the vitamins he wants.
It's just, I mean, it's just Monster Squad. They should rename it Monsters, Inc.
Well, I would like Overeem to go over there, too.
Oh, me too.
Just get back to the old
Just
way.
Do the old thing, man. Just do the old thing.
You know that thing.
Like the old time you need Vegeta in the face and ended his life. Do that.
Yeah, when he fought Todd Duffy and he looked like some sort of a cartoon character.
God, dog. How fun was that to
Yoel
watch,
Romero
though?
Looked small compared to him. Yoel Romero looked at him and like, Yoel
Romero looks like malnourished next to him. Yoel Romero looks like he has AIDS next to Uber Ring.
He's like, I got to go lift. I got to go.
He's like, God damn, I need to fucking hit the gym. Uber Ream? We've never seen anything like it.
No.
For whatever reason, when you and I get together, we just fucking have a love fest over this Uber Ream that doesn't exist
Brock
anymore.
Ledger,
it's like
dude.
The Loch Ness Monster. You and I are obsessed with this.
Well, there's video, though. That's the problem.
There's proof.
It's not just like we see him and we go, oh, that's the guy Stipe just knocked out? No, I'm telling you, Stipe's a bad motherfucker, no doubt about it, but he's not the same guy. That's not the Brock Lesnar guy. The guy who fought Brock?
No. That guy doesn't exist anymore.
That guy was terrifying.
If he did, he would never lose. He would never, ever lose. I was so scared because I was fighting that time. I was like, well, what the fuck would happen? What if they called me up right now? I'm going to have to act sick.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's interesting, man. That's you know, the people that say that steroids don't win fights or performance-enhancing drugs don't win fights, they're crazy. Those people are crazy.
Crazy.
You're out of your mind.
You're crazy.
It helps a lot.
You don't think I could have went Uber Brown? Uber Big Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Grande Brown?
It helps a lot.
Venti Brown would do some work. It also helps with your chin.
Yes.
And hopefully I could have taken that HGH and my head would have grown. So all of a sudden I have this Ubering body and this Mark Hunt head that'd be fucking sick.
You know what I hope? Honestly, I really do hope that Ryzen takes off and becomes like Pride was back in the day. And you have these nutty, insane, fucking full-bore freak show fights. And we get to see guys just jacked to the tits.
I could use that in my life.
That would be awesome.
We would do fight campaigns for every one of them.
Yeah!
It'd be so sick.
Fuck yeah.
It'd be so violent.
Oh, it'd be amazing. If the UFC was smart, they'd get in bed with them. I'd be like, listen, let's bring
just be under the table investors.
Let us bring this over to the fucking Fight Pass. Come on, baby.
I agree.
Come on, baby.
Hey, listen, Ubering wants to start some shit. How about you guys just sign him and then we'll put on Fight Pass?
And encourage the steroids. Say, listen, I know those motherfuckers can't fight like that over here. We're all clean and
super
everything.
Strict.
So listen, just fucking give us a little taste.
It'd be a good business
plan.
We'll
help you out. Yes.
Smart.
Yeah, you can watch the freak show.
You get it
all. Japanese freak show.
You get it all.
And who knows, man? Japan is weird. You know, Japan was a huge culture for MMA at one point in time. Like, at one point in time, the UFC was giant over there. And then it faded and dropped off bad. Or, excuse me, Pride was giant. And then it faded and dropped off bad. And Dream was kind of like the end of it. And then now there's not really a presence there anymore until Ryzen comes along. So if Ryzen can figure out how to bring back the same sort of excitement in the Japanese culture and the Japanese people that they had when they had the Pride days, the glory days of selling out Saitama Super Arena and those gigantic places.
Then it'd be good business for the UFC because then they just come in the back door and like, oh, you like that product? What's up, fellas?
Yeah,
we do it bigger and better than everyone. You know what I'm saying?
A little piece of that.
I wonder how the UFC did because didn't they Aldo fought someone out. Not Aldo. Anthony Pettis was the main event out there. Remember?
Yeah, I was there. I was there for one.
Was it a good show?
Well, there has been more than one Japan UFC. I've been there for one of them.
But that was the latest one, remember?
Rampage fought when I was there. I remember that. But I don't remember too much about that event.
Remember Pettis? I feel like Pettis was the main event, and Liver kicked the shit out of someone or head kicked someone.
Mm.
It might have been
Joe Lozon.
Yes,
maybe
that was the Japan card.
Like Joe
and I felt like Roy was on there too.
Might have been. I don't remember.
But I wonder what the numbers were like. They couldn't have been too great because UFC was like, we're good.
Yeah,
because they haven't been back in a while.
I don't know. I mean, look, the UFC does so many shows. They're doing two. Next Saturday. They're doing one from Brazil and they're doing one from Belfast.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing the Northern Ireland card is Gegard Mousasi versus Uriah Hall, the rematch.
It's fun.
Yeah, and then the Brazil card is Ryan Bader versus Little Nog and
Claudia Gadelha.
Claudia Gadelha on that card too.
Yeah, and there's one more big fight on that.
Yeah, here's someone that no one's talking about in the strawweight division is Jessica Andrade.
Yeah.
She moved down. She's a gorilla.
Gorilla.
Her and Liz Carmouche had a bodybuilding contest.
It's a toss-up.
Both of them stand in front of each other and flex it out.
I'd watch that. I'll tell you who I wouldn't mind seeing sign with the UFC, and I don't think she needs to work on her stand-up. Obviously, it's super amateur right now, but that Mackenzie.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched her. I think it was on HDNet.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking knotted this girl up. And I think it was a go-go plata. And then she started on a go-go plata and then got her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And her grappling, I think she could come in the UFC right now at strawweight and just top five.
She's insane. Her jiu-jitsu's insane.
It's so insane. Her striking's super amateur, but the strawweight division's at a point where I think she could still do work right now.
And she's hot as fuck.
She is some smoke show.
She's a smoke show, and she speaks English and Portuguese fluently.
Dime PC.
And nasty on the ground. Nasty.
Super nasty.
Super high-level black belt.
Looks
and
the part.
The daughter of Megaton Diaz.
Yes.
Who's a very, very well-respected, famous Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. And a pioneer. He's one of the old-school guys.
That's her papa.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I think she's probably eventually going to wind up in the UFC.
Does
she make 115?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good luck taking down the Polish killer. Did you see what she put on her fucking water bottle, bro?
Yeah, didn't
you
blast it
up
it
on
out?
My Instagram? Somebody,
some killer shit.
One of the guys from the underground posted it up, and then I actually wound up getting it from Joe Silva. Joe Silva showed it to me in between fights. It's, let me see the dude's name.
It's basically
Sincognito is the dude's name on mixedmartialarts.com. And it says, in 2 days, I will fuck a bitch up and continue my violent run as champion.
I mean,
she writes that on her water bottle.
I'm just a straight, cold-blooded killer.
I love her, man.
Dude, how much that fight, I was surprised. First time we've really seen her in a lot of trouble like that.
She got cracked. I think it was a punch. It was a straight punch. She got hit with that.
I thought it was a punch to the elbow. Like she punched and came through with that right elbow. And then she was wobbly, man.
Maybe.
We've never really seen her in that much danger.
Well, and the thing was, Shevchenko was getting lit up for most of the fight. She was having a hard time.
Super tough. Those Polish girls,
super tough. And after the fight, looked great. I mean, she ate a lot of punches. She ate a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
A lot of leg kicks, especially.
I thought Joanna looked worse as far as face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had that big mouse on her upper eye there.
She got cracked with, I think there was a couple of hard elbows in the clinch, too. It was a great fight. I mean, but it wasn't a great fight for a while. For a while, it was like, it looked like Valentina was just, she just wasn't as fluid or effective.
Yeah, but she was just hanging in there for a second.
But she never stopped. She never stopped coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
She never stopped coming forward. And she was never discouraged. I mean, she had some moments where she couldn't solve the puzzle. And Joanna was doing a really good job of ending the combinations with leg kicks. Inside and outside. Inside and outside.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, and all those leg kicks were really making a big difference.
Yeah, if you follow Joanna though, that it was a tough fight, but Joanna definitely won that. She's at like her first fight with Claudia Gadeja. That was the tougher fight for her.
She had a tough fight in the last one with Claudia Gadeja.
She won,
but yeah, she's been to some wars.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
Valerie Letourneau, she fought that fight. She had a broken hand somewhere in the fight. She kept punching with it.
She's just a murderer, man.
She's a badass woman. It's a badass woman.
Is Tony Hinchcliffe still obsessed with her?
Loves her.
God, they look like brother and sister, though, don't they?
Yeah, it would be weird if they fucked. she might not weigh him.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
When she's not cutting weight.
That's a tough one.
You know?
Yeah, she
definitely
might.
Beat his ass. He admitted that.
I
was like,
yeah,
you know
she
could beat your ass, right?
You know she put her hands on you, right? Yeah, he loves her, man. She's a killer. Killer. That was a long ass card though.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was watching on the East Coast in Florida, dude, the cards get done late there. It was like 1 a.m. by the time Connor was walking out. Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie was there. We couldn't get somewhere to eat. We tried to get into the first restaurant. It was goddamn packed. At 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, we wound up at Katz's Deli because Katz's Deli is 24/7. It was hard to find food. It was mobbed.
I can't
remember. Everywhere was mobbed.
It's crazy how late it got done for the East Coast.
Well, New York is just different. New York bars stay open, I think, till 4. Florida's till 5. Did you know that?
Florida was crap. Florida was popping. Like, everything was great, and I was exhausted. I was like, all right, get going, man. 2 hours of sleep, then got on a plane. I was exhausted, man.
Yeah, especially if you're in Southern Florida. Southern Florida is ridiculous.
That's where we're at. And then it's like that, and then with the time change in L.A., you know, you're just all messed up. But that's why sports, like, and, you know, obviously not in football, but like the Heisman vote and stuff like that. On the East Coast, it's so late that, you know, like, I don't see a lot of it, you know? Or they don't see a lot of the Monday Night Football or college games because it's just so damn late. I feel like there's a better route to go.
Nope.
obviously they would do it if it was, right?
Yeah. Well, the East Coast doesn't mind staying up late, and the West Coast demands it be on their schedule. So it winds up starting at 7.
How does the West Coast get to demand that stuff?
More people that film things out here.
Good point, sir.
Yeah, and if they did it on the West Coast or the East Coast schedule, it would happen too early. You would lose money. Like, if you had the show at 5, people are not done working. Like, people have to work on Saturday. They're still at work.
It's true.
So it can't be at 4, which is what it would be if it was their time, our time. It was 7 p.m. And then all of a sudden, you also have to think about the undercard. What if somebody wants to watch the undercard? On FS1, you're not going to pay for the undercard. FS1's going to be, hey, listen, bitch, you can't put the undercard on at 10 in the morning. Yeah. Nobody wants to watch that shit.
They've done it when they're in Brazil or some shit like that.
But they'll get mad. People get mad.
That's true. You're going to get the mass audience. It's obviously working.
Yeah, and the East Coast stays up. They always stay up.
Dude, how crazy that Madison Square Garden, after the fight, the lights on the stadium, which they've never done before in the arena, were Irish colors for Conor McGregor.
It's pretty intense.
Brian and I were arguing this. Do you think Conor McGregor is more well known than Floyd Mayweather currently?
Yes.
Because boxing's a bigger sport.
Yeah.
Because you look at Floyd Manny, like the pay per view numbers, destroys anything Conor's ever been close to.
That's true. Maybe not. Maybe no.
Right. I was arguing Conor is bigger because of social media and stuff like that. But Floyd has more followers and on Instagram, Twitter, but you can't judge it off that.
Here's the thing. The amount of excitement that Floyd generates does not even fucking compare to the amount of excitement that Conor generates.
That doesn't mean he's more popular.
I understand, but it does kind of. Because the intensity of the popularity, the love, people might know who Floyd Mayweather is, but when it comes to how many people love Floyd Mayweather, it's not even close. It might be like some ridiculous, like 10-1 or 20-1. Because when Conor gets out there, they go fucking crazy.
Crazy.
How many people are there to see Floyd Mayweather lose? How many people are bored after Floyd Mayweather fights? Like, Floyd Mayweather fights so skillfully and surgically and doesn't take any chances and hardly ever gets hit.
It's not fun.
Conor murks motherfuckers. He wins the world title and the fastest ever title-winning knockout ever. What does he do after that? He comes back and makes Eddie Alvarez look like Eddie Alvarez, world champion. The guy he's defending his belt.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And Conor makes him look like he has no business in there with him. No business. Has zero success at all except for a couple of body shots.
This is why I think Conor's bigger and more transcendent because...
You just bailed on that word.
I did. Sorry, man.
Transcendent.
Because I just bailed, right? Just fucking out. You like
that? I do that sometimes.
I'll just like, yeah, I'm out.
I think I'm using it wrong.
I'm like, I'm thinking of that. And we're gonna go. And Operation Eject. But how many successful black athletes do we know? Of Joe Gillen. How many white Irish superstars do we know? One.
Yeah, one.
One,
Barry McGuigan was a big star before he came to the United States, and he came to the United States and eventually lost his belt. But Barry McGuigan at one point in time was a huge star, but nowhere near the star that Conor is worldwide.
And this goes for all athletes. Conor's the green elephant in the room. Everyone else we've seen before, everyone else we know what they can kind of do. Conor's this green elephant amongst all these gray elephants, and there's nothing like him.
Totally different thing.
Totally different animal.
It's crazy.
He's an elephant with two fucking trunks.
He's got 15 dicks.
15 dicks,
and
two
a bag
trunks.
Of gold with a leprechaun outfit
Correct.
On. Correct. Hi.
And now he has a little son on the way.
And they gave him a fucking Rolls Royce with his face on it.
How crazy is that?
What's interesting is how well he manages it all. It's really interesting. You know, like the pressure in particular, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it at all.
Isn't it weird? That's what makes him so special, because that magnitude and the pressure, and he has to deliver and he has to do those antics and then back it up.
Yeah.
But he keeps pulling it off. Like, at the press conference, I was like, all right, this is stupid, man. This is getting old to me. But then when he pulls off, I'm like, that was brilliant.
And, you know, I mean, the guy steps in, he loses to Diaz, right? Takes the Diaz fight on short notice. Oh, by the way, after a staph infection. Here's something a lot of people don't even know. He had a pretty significant staph infection, was on antibiotics until, like, I think 2 weeks before the fight. Mm-hmm. If you don't think that drains your gas tank, you never had a staph infection and you never had to take antibiotics.
Antibiotics are brutal on your respiratory system.
Yeah, they're brutal on your whole body. It's just your body's meant up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body's made up of all this shit that you don't consider to be you, but it is you. Stomach flora is a real part of you. You know, your body is essentially like an ecosystem. And when you have a staph infection, staph infections are dangerous as fuck, and people die from them. So they hit you with some heavy-duty antibiotics. I've had staph twice, and it's not fun. And the first time I had it and I took the medication, I couldn't believe how I felt so weird. I felt lightheaded. I felt weak. I was like, whoa.
You're drained, right? You have no energy.
It's super strong stuff, too. And I was like, wow, imagine this guy fighting 2 weeks after
this. It's insane.
Because there's no way you peak correctly.
No.
So he comes from that, and then he fights Nate again, you know, a few months later in a fucking crazy five-round war and beats him by the narrowest of margins, right? Don't you agree?
Yeah, that was the very narrow.
Very close fight where some people thought that Nate won. I mean,
I didn't
very
think
close.
He did, but
I didn't think
super
he did
close
either.
Fight.
I thought the decision was correct, but I was like, wow, that's a close fight. So takes that fucking crazy chance, comes back and fights that guy. Conor weighed 169. That's what he weighed when he weighed in. That's what he weighed during the fight.
And they wanted him to fight at 55. Yeah. He goes, no, I can beat him at 70. Let me do 70.
Nate weighed probably around 190 something.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. I mean, everybody says that Nate is a 155 pounder. He is, 100%. But he's a way bigger man. Than Conor is. Yes. He just is, you know? So it's like, who's going to weigh more when they actually get in there? Nate's going to weigh more. So he does that and then goes from there and just starches Eddie Alvarez like a world beater and just so relaxed and loose in there. So amazing. Fucking Madonna was at the show. Madonna was at the fights.
How crazy is that?
Madonna's Instagramming.
Mama, we made it. Mama, we made
it. It's red panty night.
It's red panty night, and Madonna, you're up. Whew. I think she's single.
Where the fuck is my second belt? I envisioned this. Where the fuck is my belt?
Nuts, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking
he's
nuts.
He's a character, man. He's such a character. And you know.
I thought he was going to make a big announcement. I thought his announcement was he's going to retire. But his announcement was like, if I'm going to continue doing this, I need a share of the company.
Yeah, that's probably what the announcement was going to be all along, you know, that he wants a piece of the pie. I mean, he's got an argument that he probably should get a percentage of the promotion because what they're selling is Conor McGregor. They're selling the UFC plus Conor McGregor. The question is, how much of that card, what would it be? What would the paper, we don't know what the numbers are, so let's pretend the number is 2 million, which would be like the greatest card of all time, right? Probably wouldn't hit that. I don't know.
I bet it's around 1.7.
Let's just say 2 million because it's easy to.
Correct, sir.
So let's say that. What percentage bought it because of Conor? It might be a million.
1 million plus for sure.
Might be.
1 million
Literally
plus for sure.
Literally might be.
1 million plus
so
for sure.
So 1 million people might have bought the pay per view specifically because of one human being. That is not outrageous to say.
But this is the other thing in Conor's favor. Name another star who can do that.
Ronda can't quite do that.
She can't quite do it. She's talking about this might be my last fight, blah, blah, blah. So
I don't think she said that. I think she said she's close
a few
to the
less,
end of her
right?
career.
Which, yeah. When you hear that, yeah. Right? Like you always talk about having one foot out, blah,
exactly.
blah, blah. So let's say she has two fights left. Maybe three. Who knows? But she's not the same draw as Conor. It's just not. It's just. You look at the numbers, she's not the same draw.
But if she comes back, beats Amanda Nunes, arm bars her.
And then fights right? Cyborg.
And then fights Holly. Beats Holly, gets a rematch, arm
still
bars
not
her.
As big as Conor.
You don't know that because as that happens.
Do you like to bet, Mr.
Like,
Joe Rogan?
But here's the thing. As these people win, their star gets more and more giant. If Ronda came back and started winning again, her star would get more and more giant. It would get bigger. It would fuel more. The more bodies she claims, the more fuel her fire will have. That is what happens all the time. I mean, it's pure speculation. But
it
if
really
she
is.
Can win the way Conor's been winning, if she can win in spectacular fashion, or the way she was winning when she fucked up Alexis Davis and Sarah McMahon.
Merkin girls. And then she cuts to 115.
Ooh.
She could never make. But you know
you
what I'm saying.
You don't think she could?
Fuck no.
Why not?
She's way too big.
But is she? Okay.
Yeah, that'd be a, I mean,
yeah,
a
because
damn
she looks
impossible.
Really, really rough at the weigh-in sometimes at 35.
That's just not even fathomable. Yeah. But, if for Conor and this, and again, I'm not rooting for favorites. I'm just saying it from a business standpoint. For Conor, he's such a big draw.
Right.
What's going to help him in his negotiating power if Ronda were to lose this next fight? Because then he's like, I'm the only motherfucker in town.
Yeah.
You guys were claiming me and Ronda. That's cool. She just lost. I need my fucking money.
Well, and by the way, Ronda has a tough fight in front of her. Amanda Nunes is goddamn scary.
She's a scary girl.
And she was the one that I was saying before Ronda lost to Holly. I was saying she should have got the title fight. And I said that I think she's the most dangerous one.
Yeah, and I was talking shit to you.
The way she stops Sarah McMahon, she cracks Sarah McMahon with that right hand.
Yeah, she hits like a Mack truck.
She hits like a dude.
But Cyborg hits like a dude. Amanda hits like a strong girl. Big difference.
They both
Cyborg
hit
hits like
scary.
Like Tyrone Woodley with braids. Let's be real. She hits so hard and gets no love because she's so goddamn scary and can't make the weight.
She also has a better arsenal. Like, she'll throw kicks and knees.
She's also a black belt on the ground.
Yeah.
I think Amanda is too.
Amanda is. But Amanda has lost on the ground before.
Yeah.
She got beat up by Kat Zingano on the ground.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cyborg will rip your limbs off.
Yeah.
But she's getting no love. But
she's too big.
I know. It sucks for her. But
they need a 155.
Well, 150.
Well, and again, if they did that whole thing where I'm talking about the eliminated weight cuts,
there'd be two girls.
Cyborg would fight at like 180.
Cyborg fight at 180, and it'd be her and that big ass girl Gabby Garcia.
That's it. At 280.
But that's all we got
Gabby
for you.
Gabby would have to cut weight to make
you and
Gabby weight.
Fight every other weekend. How about that? Like Tim Sylvia and Andre Arlovsky. Let's do that every other weekend.
Tim Sylvia versus Andre.
Remember they were fighting like them and Frank Mir were fighting like every other weekend because all we had
days. The old days.
But. I think for Ronda, the Amanda Nunes fight, stylistically, again, we don't know. We don't know where Ronda's mental state is at, but stylistically, it's a great matchup for Ronda.
I think so?
Yeah, I think if she comes ready, prepared, has a good camp, she murks her.
But don't you think that you look at the way she fucked up Miesha Tate? You're like, that girl presents a lot of danger with those punches, especially considering what happened with Holly and Ronda.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think she presents a lot of danger.
100%, Joe. I think you're right on that. But I think her marching forward is the perfect antidote to get murked by Ronda. Because she's like, oh, come get some of this judo, then I'm going to armbar your ass.
Right. If she marches forward.
Which is really all she knows how to do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It could be interesting.
It's a great fight either way. But
it's also interesting to see where Ronda's head is now that she's coming back.
That's the X factor. Because if it's Ronda 100%, she beats her, I think, 9 out of 10 times.
Strong words.
I know. But if it's Ronda who's kind of, I want to do movies, I want to do this, this isn't for me, you're going to get murked. Because that girl hits so hard.
Well, what Ronda has and what Ioana has, you know, and not a whole lot of other women have it, is one thing that they do where they're really fucking good at it, and then they have all those other stuff.
Correct.
Whereas, like, Paige VanZant is kind of learning the whole sport. She's learning
she
the
goes.
Whole thing as
yeah.
she goes.
Yeah.
You know?
What Paige has is just toughness.
And she's hot. That helps.
Ridiculously hot.
That helps,
that definitely helps.
But there's not other girls, you know, other than Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
She's another one who's badass, who's another super powerful striker.
Yeah.
I mean, the way she handled Holly Holm standing up.
I know, man.
Yeah, handled her. Just countered her at will. That looping left hook, that check hook that she throws off
Nasty.
The right side. Yeah, she's another one. But there's not, they need more of those. You know,
I agree.
Like, that's where Mackenzie Dern fits in.
Exactly. Mackenzie Dern come and do work, and she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if Connor's like, listen, I don't wish bad on anyone, but if Ronda were to lose, we throwing a party in Ireland.
Nobody
because
has that.
I'm the only show in town now. Give me my fucking piece of the pie.
Well, nobody has that sort of personality that he has. No one, ever. I think even he eclipses Ali. I think he eclipses all of them. I think he's bigger than Chael Sonnen, for sure, as far as like his ability to talk shit. He's
not
better
than
all
Ali,
of them.
But yeah, I hear
think
you.
He is. I think he's better than Ali.
Sir. Ali, but Ali stood for a different thing,
he
right?
Did.
Like
he did.
His message is more important.
Yes.
When you fight for equal rights.
Well, he's also fighting to stop the Vietnam War.
Correct. Like there's bigger times.
He had several things
going
for him that were bigger.
Correct.
Connor's white privilege.
Yeah.
His nice suits.
Nice suits.
You know, the government's not trying to send him over to fight in a war. He's not even American.
They're not stripping his belt for how long?
3 years.
Because he won't fight three fucking years.
In his prime.
It's prime. That's like basically taking the belt from Conor right now.
Right
3 years,
we'll
see you soon.
And then he comes back in 3 years after not having trained at all. Ali didn't even work out for 3 years. Because when Ali wasn't fighting, he was like, why would I work out?
Well, fucked up, sir. And he was never the same, was he?
No. No, not only was he not the same, he didn't have the footwork anymore. He didn't have the endurance anymore.
He didn't
anymore.
Have the fire, really.
He came back. You look at his body when he came back and fought. He fought Jerry Quarry.
Smooth.
His comeback fight. Yeah, smooth. And
that's what's scary. Not scary, but to be interesting to see what happens with Jon Jones.
Yeah.
Because now they suspend for a year, right? And he's been out even longer. And then before that, so they're stripping his title. And then Dana, obviously, you know, he never sticks to what he says. Sometimes he does, but he goes, he'll never be a main event again. Like, we can't book him as the main event because we can't trust him anymore.
Wow.
I know, right? So for John, granted, he's doing that flow grappling event against...
Get the fuck out of here. That flow grappling, he could have been fighting for the UFC heavyweight title.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, at least he's doing something active. Like, at least he's not Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I guess.
He's lost millions of dollars, but at least he's doing something... In combat sports.
Well, he's only suspended for a year retroactively. So,
July. It's up in July.
Yeah, so he has to get, I
but
think
still,
July
it's been
16.
A while. Because remember, before that, he did that huge laugh before UFC 200.
I know.
So when he comes back, it's going to be interesting to see what we get out of him.
I know, and then he came back and he fought Ovince St. Preux, and, you know, looked kind of tentative. And then you saw Jimmy Manoah run through Ovince St. Preux. All these guys are getting better.
They're getting better.
They're rising up, and, you know, Rumble. Rumble's fighting DC for the title again. That's going to be a real interesting fight.
Super interesting.
Because
remember, Rumble did land that huge shot on DC and flattened him.
Yeah, who knows? In this fight, he's got Neil Melanson in his corner now. He's had him for a few years now. He's worked with a lot on his grappling. I guarantee he's concentrated a lot more on his wrestling. There's a lot of videos of him running wrestling drills.
Wrestling nonstop.
Yeah, so he's preparing. He's preparing to get up. He's preparing for takedown defense.
It's a fun fight, man. It's a toss-up for me. Toss-up. And then John Jones has all this laugh. He comes back, and let's say Rumble, for whatever reason, wins. He's like, what's up, man? Yeah, let's do it.
Well, why do you think he's going to get a straight shot at the title? I don't even know if he would get a straight shot at the title upon coming back.
You know, everyone wants to see, though, isn't it?
Maybe.
That's what the fans demand.
There might be something going on by then. By the time this time rolls around next year, or July rolls around, so he's free in July, whether or not means... See, I don't know how suspensions work, but what had been explained to me is performance-enhancing drug suspensions don't even allow you to train with other fighters who are on the roster.
Really?
Yes. When your suspension is up, then you can train with them. I don't think you're even supposed to be sparring with them.
What?
Once they hand down a suspension...
They don't have that regulation, do they?
I don't know about that, man.
Is that right?
Look that up, Jamie.
I don't think that's true.
We're going to wrap this up soon.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I hope it's not, because it's crazy. Because you could help your teammates, even if you're suspended, you could still train and help your teammates.
And also sharpen your sword a little bit.
Yeah, it's like telling a guy who's an accountant, you're suspended for a year, you can't even touch a calculator.
Where at night, he's touching calculators. Yeah, he's going to touch them. Yeah, go and touch that TI-83. Click, click,
click, click. Ooh, you know the
touch,
model
touch
number.
Touch that TI-83 Texas instrument. Yeah, I'm a nerd. No, they used to make them, have them in school.
I remember those. Now it's on your phone. Now your phone's like a thousand times better.
Fuck a calculator.
That
TI-83 was like a fucking elongated Game Boy.
Yeah, like the calculator business, man, they took a hit.
they're no longer around.
Yeah, who's buying calculators?
They're like Blockbuster. There's none of them left, man.
It's over. They took a hit. Did you see anything, Jamie? See anything?
The first article I clicked on was the one from last year. So
I don't think so. But the other thing, to your point where you don't think who says he'll get a title shot, the light heavyweight division is just L dinosaurs besides the top few guys. They're so old. John's like, I'm not fucking fighting Shogun again.
I don't know.
How dare you
fight again? But Jimmy Manoah was a very dangerous fight for anybody right now. He's a dangerous fight for John, too.
Yeah,
Manoah was good.
You are reaching, sir.
No, I'm not.
You are reaching.
The way Manoah lit up Ovince St. Preux.
Did you see what happened when he fought Gustafson?
He got cracked. Yeah. Did you see what happened when he fought Rumble? He got cracked.
He got dealt with.
Yeah, but that's part
of the game. When he fought Upper Echelon, he got dealt with.
Right, it's part of the game. Well, Ovince St. Preux just went fucking the full distance with John Jones in a tough fight.
With a sleepy John Jones.
And had a broken arm.
Yeah.
Got his arm broken that fight,
John broke that arm by throwing kicks, right?
Yeah, but my point is, he went the distance, and St. Preux took him out pretty quick. I think Jimmy Manoah took him out pretty quick. I think Manoah was super dangerous. Very fluid.
Dangerous.
Very
fluid
with his
striking. It'd be a dangerous first round for John in his comeback fight.
I think taking him down and beating him up on the ground would be John's best option.
100%. He's going to trip him, throw him to the ground, and submit him.
Also, John's different than anybody else in his length and his ability
to
use
it. Doesn't get hit, really.
And his wrestling's so fucking good.
He's just so long and strong.
Just not scared to go to the ground with anybody.
But you look at light heavyweight division is hurting the most out of anyone, I think. You go down the roster, like, God, dog, we need some new blood in this bitch.
Yeah, you might be right. The
main event in Brazil is Ryan Bader versus Little Nog. Little Nog's like, I'll fucking do it. Yeah, I'll do it. I've been fighting for 35 years.
Yeah, when is Little Nog?
I move like a goddamn tortoise, but if you want to pay me, I'll still do it.
He hasn't taken the same amount of punishment that his brother has, but he's taken some big knockouts.
Yeah, hope.
Remember when Sokoju knocked him out with a wrist?
Oh, my God.
He like clotheslined him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Rumble one was just horrendous. Just
dude,
horrific.
I told you, I was in the back of the locker room warming up Pat Cummings. That motherfucker warmed up by basically doing like arm stretches, couldn't even hit mitts. He was so stiff. I was like, who's he fighting? Like Rumble. I was like, oh, he can't go out there. I looked at his coach. I'm like, no, I can't speak Spanish, but no bueno. Or Portuguese. Sorry. Yeah. There's no I'm like, he can't go out there, man. I wanted to grab his leg like a 3-year-old and not let him walk out to the octagon.
I think Brazil is such a huge hotbed for MMA right now. It's so gigantic that they need Brazilian stars. And, you know, for the main event in particular, they're like, just don't have a whole lot of options in the light heavyweight division.
So, someone fucking wake up Little Nog out of his slumber. Because he's recuperating.
Little Nog or Big Nog?
Little Nog. Because they're waking him up out of slumber. Because little Big Nog's done.
Right, he's done.
Little Nog, they woke his ass up and he's like, yeah, I'll fight Bader.
I mean, he's probably asking for another fight. But outside of him, what other good light heavyweights from Brazil that are in the UFC that you could like sell a main event are?
Glover. Are there? But they already fought.
Right, but Glover just got cracked too. And he should probably take quite a while off after that knockout. That was the kind of knockout that you need to like not do nothing.
Yeah, he needs to lay low.
Yeah, he got flatlined.
So you got that light heavy, you got Shogun, which I don't know what's going on.
I think
on
Shogun's got to be done. If he's not done, he's probably real close to being
done.
That's
what I'm saying. Look at light heavyweight, bro. Go through.
True. But in Brazil, though, even more so. Like as far as like Brazilian fighters, as far as fame.
Machida got suspended.
Suspended and suspended for a long fucking time. Doesn't he have a 2-year?
I'm not sure. It's not good. I don't know if they've decided or not, but
I felt like he got suspended for 2 years.
I mean, just look at the Brazilian fighters, especially, you're right, light heavyweight.
And Machida was going 85 anyway.
He can float between 205. I'm just thinking 205 guys he could line up with in Brazil.
Yeah, not a lot. Not a whole lot. I mean, Bader already fought Lyoto. You could sell that as a rematch because, remember, Lyoto knocked him out.
In L.A., yeah, bad.
Yeah.
But he's suspended. You're right, though. Especially, there's not a lot of new blood in Brazil.
No.
Look at the faces. Anderson Silva, his leg fell off. He just lost to Bisping. And then he lost to DC. Mm-hmm. So he's basically done.
Well, Thomas Almeida was looking really good before Cody Garbrandt came around.
Ooh, he murked him.
He murked him.
Oh, who's homeboy that TJ Dillashaw is fighting? Hits like a fucking Mack truck.
John Lineker.
Lineker.
That's a good fight.
That's a good fight.
Very good fight. Lineker's terrifying.
They told TJ, like, listen, we did think you beat Dominic Cruz. You're not getting a title shot. We're going to do Garbrandt. Here's fucking Lineker, though.
And if Garbrandt wins and TJ wins, it's a big if on both sides, right? Who knows?
It's a big, big if.
Especially on the Dominic Cruz side. Good luck hitting that guy.
I know, but if he does land.
If he lands, he knocks everybody out.
I'm a Garbrandt fan, man. He's my favorite at that weight class.
I love that dude.
He's a old school, young, that weight class, 135. He reminds me of Chuck Liddell.
He's a fucking savage.
Real small and tatted up.
He's a savage. No doubt.
Good looking dude, too.
You like
him? Bitches out.
You like it?
I like it. I like the whole package. I like the knockout power. I like that he murks dudes.
All right, we got to wrap this up. I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I got to quit talking about dudes and the
fighter
physiques.
And the kid, tfatk.com, Brendan Schaub on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at the Laugh Factory Thursday, son.
Oh, shit. This Thursday, Laugh Factory,
real.
Doing stand-up again. How many times have you been on stage now?
By myself like that?
Yeah.
I always start stand-up the Fighting the Kids, but I've been Comedy Store, I think, 3 times, and this is the first time at Laugh Factory.
Oh, shit.
I know,
you liking
man.
It?
Love it.
All right, Thursday, go out. What time's the show?
8 o'clock.
If you're in L.A., represent. All right, thanks, brother.
Thank you, man.
Fun times.
Fun times.
Yay.
I missed you. Love you.
I love you, too, man. See you soon.